Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you scurvy cunt robbers? I'm Heavy Meta!
And I'm Matty Studios.
I'm Krista Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we may talk about new, exciting Return to Zendikar artwork. We may talk about other shit, I don't know. We didn't really put show notes together this evening. We'll talk about some magic, and we'll definitely dig deep in that glorious hole. But in the meantime,
vagina pirate
feels a little old school up in here. It's a little, it's a little weird with the vibe. I mean, you guys are the regulars.
It does. This,
I still feel a lot of place.
This is like old school. We were just saying this is like pre-episode 100 cast way here. Kevin Metal, Matty Studios, no rules. And TSG. Yeah. There's no way he could two on
hopefully,
one.
Hopefully no you way. Can bring your old school enthusiasm for Magic back. Back before the days your eyes were open to the awfulness that is MTGO. And yeah, and I can set the ship right again and be like, no, Matty, that product is still a steaming pile of shit, but you should still play Magic. It's good for you.
Well, you know what? They did launch
leagues
today.
And then they just shut
up. Dude, I'm totally back in. I'm selling out of paper. I'm going back in. I'm David Letting this stuff. I'm just selling everything. I'm back in for leagues.
Well, I mean, you were for what, like a couple of minutes? And then they're just all, oh, but by the way, nothing else works. So we're going to go ahead and shut everything down for, you know.
Oh, my God. So the worst thing in the world. I finally boot this thing up to see what it is. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to go trade for some stupid card. Oh. You can't trade. And so the bot guys are like, yeah, none of the trading system works right now. We're fucked. I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck?
Yeah, they
oh, guys.
Posted on Twitter a little bit ago, like Magic, like that they shut down leagues, events, and the shop, like, and the store. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, I mean, I guess, like, if you want to go on and just grind some filthy casual shit with your friends, I mean, we'll leave that up, but.
I don't know. Like, guys, Tess, I just, my brain hurts that you would just, you'd launch this. And not test.
No, it feels like in their heads, like the beta testers, like that's the extent of it. They're like, oh, hey, let's throw leagues out on beta and let the beta test.
We turned it on. It didn't crash.
And then when like, you know, 30 people fucking test it, they're like, right on, seems legit, send it out the door. And then they fucking launch it to the public. Like, I don't know if they do any testing of their own. They're all, that's what the beta testers are for.
Yeah, it could be, dude. It could be. It's just shocking. It's just so shocking that this is like leagues. This is the thing that everyone's been waiting for a year. You've been shit on everything you do. You would think, like, Worth would be like, guys, I am really tired of getting shit on Twitter. Can we just turn the thing on, like, 20 minutes before we really put it live and, like, just check it? Can someone, like, log on and maybe trade a land? Like, shouldn't there be a list of things to do?
No.
Like,
They assume because you get the email that says, like, you know, hey, check all this stuff, trade, do your thing, you know, like, see what's going on. These are the known bugs. I mean, we're not going to fix those. Because we already tried. So just check out the other stuff. See if it works. And then, like, there's one guy that, like, actually fills out, you know, the little thing and says, like, yeah, seems to be working fine for me. And they're, like, right on. Stamp
That's true.
Like, they stamp it and they send it out the door.
Yeah. That could be. That could be. I haven't had any time to, like, be in there in a while. That's nutty. Oh, man. I don't know. MTGO is just one of those things. Apparently, who was it? It was Tom LaPille. The guy that we wanted to be on the Community Cup, he apparently had a tweet that he deleted where he ranked Magic above Hearthstone and then quickly realized the error of his ways and deleted the tweet, but then a bunch of people, they kept snapshotting and finding it on him. And they're like, come on, dude, what kind of crack are you smoking rating it above stuff? And I guess, in all honesty, guys, we'll shit on Magic online a lot, but Magic the game is superior. There isn't a game better than Magic the game. Now, MTGO is a different story. Their digital implementation is fucking trash. But hey, we got Magic Puzzle Quest.
Oh yeah, what the fuck is that garbage?
What the hell is Puzzle Quest?
I don't even know. I literally looked at it and I was like, this looks like a stupid third-party app developer that just licensed the Magic property. It looks trash. I think it's like a, what is that silly game everybody plays? Candy Crush? It looks like a Candy Crush knockoff for Magic. Hey man, get your Planeswalker points! Your PPs, man, your play points. Jeez, you gotta line them up.
It's like if you Tetris, line up, but it's just a bunch of Planeswalker heads in different shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it.
And then there's the bug, right? The Magic Online crash bug. You line up three of those and the app just shuts down. Who knows, man? Who knows? It's all good, man. We did get some awesome stuff today, though. Tons of new artwork on the Uncharted Realms. I gotta jump late into this
because I know everybody's been talking about that shit lately. I haven't seen it pop up ever. What the fuck is the Uncharted Realms thing?
Daily MTG, Uncharted Realms.
Oh, I don't ever go to Daily. Roll through
it. Or just check my Twitter images, man.
I get that and I see it, but I keep seeing like Uncharted Realms pop up and I'm all, what the fuck is that?
Uncharted Realms is the attempt at Magic writers over there to write stories.
Oh, okay, I get you.
It's so bad.
I never pay attention. I don't ever go to the fucking Daily MTG. I don't ever go to fucking any of those sites. Like, anytime I go to a fucking site, as far as Magic is concerned, it's fucking, like, Goldfish. Or maybe TCG Player. Like, I'm not... Like, I don't...
That's
don't
true.
Go, like, I basically get all my Magic information and news from either Twitter or you guys talking about it on the podcast while I'm sitting here going, what the fuck is that?
So, we are a definite legit source for Magic News.
Magic News, Twitter.
I'm pretty sure that's even in the like opening. Mm-hmm. Magic News.
Yeah.
It's in there. See?
We are a legit source. We put that because people like one. You go read that shit and then you tell me about it.
We are like the daily show for Magic.
Yeah, that's so I know about this sweet ass Magic News 2 days before everybody else does because I get to be here while we're recording.
Sadly, I just get the news from today, so you're 3 days behind. But that works for me. It's all good. By the time you listen to it, it's old. No, we got some awesome artwork. A lot of people were guessing about what the cards do or what the artwork may be. Pretty interesting. It's even more reference to ley lines yet again. Huh. And it sounds to me like in the Uncharted Realms that Nyssa was kind of like powering up the land, creating like an aura around here. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see auras back. What was that? Totem armor.
Totem armor.
That'd be kind of cool. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. That's fine, right? I think that's cool. I don't know where they're going with it. It's a pretty sad and depressing story about Eldrazi just killing the whole world. And poor Nyssa lost connection to her beloved elemental, Ashaya.
Oh, well.
Oh, God. In fact, I have to pay attention to this much fucking Vorthos to try to figure out what cards are going to get printed or reprinted, which is going to affect the value of my cards. It's a little sick.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm not okay with some story in my Magic. I enjoyed the Weatherlight. I enjoyed Urza. I just liked it slightly at a distance and not like, I gotta make sure I read this so I know what's getting reprinted and what planeswalkers are gonna get reincarnated as new planeswalkers and all this jazz. That's so much fucking effort.
Oh, come on now. Listen, you have to get dirty and sickly and spread it all over yourself. Like, you have to take Vorthos out of a jar and just, like, lubricate yourself. Because if you don't, one of the funnest parts of the thing is trying to dive in and get it all wrong, you know? Oh, my God, there was an Eldrazi and he had two hands on one hand and, like, a suction cup on the other. It's totally an equipment. I don't know. Like,
and I mean,
that's where the fun comes
in. Sadly, like, speculating out of, like, the Vorthos side, it seems to come true a lot more than, like, us, like, or just the Magic community in general. Like, when we're given any information, we speculate the shit out of it. It's like, oh, this might be coming. Oh, this might be coming. We go fucking ape shit over it. And you actually tend to glean more information, I think, from the Vorthos side of things. Like, that shit seems to come true a lot more than, like, oh, look, they're printing the fetch lands and the commander decks. Oh, wait. No, they're not.
Cloudstone Curio, though, that seems like it could be a total reprint in C16. But here's something to think about, too. So if you read Uncharted Realms, because it sounds like I'm the only one that read it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. See, I love it, right? To my fellow Vorthosees, I'm going to make a call right now and guarantee that we're getting a, as part of the mythics of Battle for Zendikar, we're going to get
this is definitely some old school heavy metal work. Maddie's going to guarantee us a mythic right now.
I'm going to guarantee you right now, we are getting a mythic, legendary merfolk, for sure. I think we're going to get a mythic core. Because it sounds like they're building this, the story at least, is built around these, like, one merfolk, one core, one vampire, and they're like these legends that have survived, and they're gonna fight back the Eldrazi.
So, you, like, my call is... Turn us back for Black, great.
I don't know if it would be him, but that would be fucking crazy. Was he in Zendikar?
Vampire Nocturnus? No, he was from Corset. Shit.
Yeah, he's Corset.
Was he a
I'm just thinking, like, yeah, actually, vampire, yeah. That seems like the shit will get out of it.
I would love... Actually, I'm really excited that vampires, black-red vampires, I hope they're coming back, and I hope they're awesome.
I would be so goddamn stoked if black-red vampires could be a fucking thing. I just...
I think it is. Just, I think it is.
Work so well together. Like, they're like, oh, man, you can...
Come on.
They're like, that is an archetype. It's just like... You know, elves and goblins, they just work well together. You know, vampires, it's always just so...
Yeah, because they're pushed.
Yeah, vampires is always so fucking, like, casual and forced. It's like, yeah, you could put together a bunch of, like, basically substandard on their own cards and get some synergy out of it, but altogether, they're just not that good. Don't get me wrong, there's been some good vampires, but...
I don't know, man. The mono black Zendikar vampire deck... during Standard had a fringe moment where it kicked a bit of ass
enough to like to see it. And I mean, I get it. They might be able to push it in fucking in Standard. Like if they really push vampires for that, you know, part of the color pie, it sucks. I like vampires. I think it would be cool if vampires were a viable thing. They just haven't printed enough good ones for them to be worth a shit anywhere except for like, oh, for this week in Standard. Yeah.
I don't know. The one thing you want to take away from Uncharted Realms, which I found interesting, is they keep making reference to the Eldrazi, like, absorbing things. So
absorbing them, I wonder how, if they're gonna, exactly?
Like a sponge?
So the other thing is, like, Nissa got knocked out, and then a bunch of the core, I think it was a core or merfolk guy, he was like, oh, there's no contamination on you, you're fine. So I think when you're looking at some of those, like, devoid Eldrazi creatures that look like people with like an Eldrazi head. I think that's what it is.
So they're like,
I think the Eldrazi like actually infect you, yeah, and take over. Exactly, right? So I think we're gonna see the Eldrazi spawn in all the races. That's how they're gonna show like the infection moving through. I'm also gonna say that Jim Castle's crazy as fuck, and he suggested an absurdly stupid thing, and I'm sorry, dude, I'm gonna call you out. He said that, hey, wouldn't it make a lot of sense if Wasteland was reprinted in Zendikar? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know, man.
Come on, man.
It's not
man.
The dumbest thing I've
it's
ever
not the
heard.
Dumbest thing
I'm
ever.
Pretty sure.
That's like saying Tarmogoyf is going to be.
I'm pretty sure.
Come
you
on. Or Force of Will. Force of Will.
Studios quotes of equal quality in the past for cards getting reprinted at times. I think the difference.
That's just my desire.
Yeah, I think the
my
major desire. Difference no. here is that. Land Destruction is not going to be reprinted at that variety anymore. I mean, I think anyone that thinks that card is coming back, those are the same people that forgot about the
back.
Progression of Tectonic Edge to Encroaching Wastes. Like, no one even remembers...
Ghost Quarter, too, right?
I guess Ghost Quarter kind of falls.
Because Ghost Quarter is where... I would assume, I could be wrong, but I think I'm pretty accurate, that Ghost Quarter is the premier land removal spell. It's the modern way.
The land removal land?
Sure. Let's go with that, right? Like, I don't think they want it more powerful than Ghost Quarter. So, because, like, think of what that would do. Like, that would probably... Well, guaranteed Wasteland would shake the fuck up out of everything. But I think it would be so powerful...
Yeah, it's not happening. We've already wasted too much time on this.
All right, we're not gonna go anywhere. I like the idea though. Vorthos wise is really cool because the world's getting destroyed. I give you bonus points for that, Jim. But I don't know. Metagame wise, no, not gonna happen. Gonna destroy everything. But other than that, I don't know what has been going on in Magic this week, gentlemen.
It's been nicely quiet week. I mean, we did have Eternal Weekend last weekend, so...
Ah, yes.
Consume that as you will.
Well, we also did, apparently... I don't know if that was last week or this week, but apparently MTGO started cutting all the queues for Legacy and Vintage because, only a few people played them, so fuck it. So apparently they pissed off a bunch of people, and then they wonder, oh my god, why are these things failing? So... Another huge failure there, guys.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people.
I'm assuming nobody actually watched any of Eternal Weekend.
No.
All right.
Shit.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend. I did watch the was it Standard SCG Open? I watched a bit of that. Oh no, it was Modern. That's right. That's why I was watching it. That was awesome. Or there was some Modern thing going on. I can't remember.
Some sort of Modern business.
They all blend together
it's
now.
The reason
it's
I just
like,
love
oh
Matty
God.
Is because he's so somehow obsessed with current Vorthos articles, but the only format he cares to play is the completely disjointed Modern. There's no cohesive story there. It's all just cards.
There's no cohesive story anywhere. Come on. I'll tell you this, though. It's funny because more and more, the more people I talk to, the more common... the more points of view I'm collecting and understanding, like, how players are first introduced to the game, where they go, what their thought process is, where their wallets take them, where player interactions take them, and then what formats they eventually end up in. And a lot of people, it seems like I've said this many times, man, the natural progression is they want to get into the game, they want to go to the store, and they want to play. And then a small percentage of those people are going to say, I'm pretty good at the game, and I'm going to invest the money in Standard and try and, you know, grind that out. But other people are like, I like it enough to play, but I don't have time to go every week, or I don't have time to keep a Standard deck up. And what they really want to do is they just want to buy a card here, a card there, and eventually put together a deck that doesn't
rotate. Well, then they're going to play EDH.
That's not true, because
EDH...
me and I hate EDH.
Yeah. This is interesting. So the difference between people who play, like, just EDH and call it a day are people who even have less time and less money and less value association of what they're doing. So, like, people like me, like, I'm a bit of a collector, but I'm competitive, but I want to play the game because I have enough understanding of how the game works and I can play at a certain level that I don't want to play casuals.
I think we're actually proving TSG's point, the fact that, like, basically you and I are a niche fucking market even more and we're the ones championing Modern. I totally get that, like, you know, Modern is fucked, but at the same time, I love the format. And I mean, I think it still brings enough, like, it's, you know, like I've said before, it's that jump in between fucking, you know, Legacy.
It's not a jump. It's not a jump. It's a progression. Because people don't go from Standard into Legacy. Or very few.
Yeah, you're right.
So they'll make a progression.
Yeah, it is a progression. It is the natural progression between Standard and Legacy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because people will get in, they'll probably play Draft, which then leads to Standard. Then the break is, well, I played Standard for a couple of months or whatever, and then you're like, wow, Modern is 10 times more expensive, so maybe if I have money or I did really well, I jump into that. But if I don't, I go, let's go look at all these fucking cards I got lying around, and they throw a commander deck together.
Yeah.
Right? I'll go buy a pre-con, boom, now I'm basically going to have a commander deck. Yes, of course, commander decks can be very expensive, and if you pimp them out, etc. But if you choose to go down that road, that's where you kind of sit. You know, if you want to play more competitive stuff, you want to get in the
market. You can take those commander decks and you can pimp them out little by little. And again, you're doing one card at a time, you know, or, you know, it's a singleton format anyway, and, you know, yeah, it's like, all right, cool, I can just play this fucking deck, you know, maybe they're the people that just go out every once in a while and play, and they can just play that deck, and then start, you know, oh, man, I'm going to put this foil version in now, because I have the fucking regular version, or a promo version came out that I want to put in, and they'll eventually pimp that deck out, because they're going to play it forever.
But again, that the common thing I keep hearing is, people want to build something that lasts.
Mm.
Whether it's Commander, Modern, etc. They want to build something that I don't have to replace. That's why there's a disdain for Standard from the casual or not even just casual. The person that wants to... I want to have a deck. I don't mind if it costs $1,000. That's not the big issue. The issue is I just want to have this deck. I want to know how to play it. I want to know the format. And then whenever I have time, boom, I can grab the deck and I can go play it. That's what I want. And I want to play at a caliber that Modern provides. And that's kind of like where
it is. And it works about it. Because, like, yeah, you've got different types of players all over the map. And I think that they've done – and, you know, part of the reason Modern is still around and you know, even though, you know, TSG's not a fan of it, and I know a lot of people aren't a fan of Modern – but like,
we'll eventually,
you know, it's still around, and fucking Legacy and Vintage are still around. Like, you've got a niche for fucking everybody. You've got, you know, people that want to, that are just so into the game and so excited about the game all the time and have the time to play and have the time to research and have the time to play test and that want to hit fucking Standard hard because, I mean, it's a rotating format. It keeps it fresh. Everything is good. And it's their premier format kind of thing. You know, they can do that. And then there's people like us that, you know, a little more reserved. It's like, oh man, you know, I don't mind spending a little bit more money on the cards, you know, per card because of a deck that's going to stick around for a while, or at least the core of the deck is going to stick around for a while. You know, bannings happen, whatever. Some things go in, some things go out, but it's kind of the middle ground. But then, you know, getting, and then of course, like the next step is fucking Legacy and Vintage. But then, you know, getting over the Commander side of things, it's like, oh, okay, well, if I don't want to spend that much money on the cards and I don't have the time to play, I can start doing that. I can start, you know, and get into playing Commander with my friends every once in a while, and I can take this deck and build it slowly over time and fucking build it up and yada, yada, yada. It's, you know, Wizards has done a pretty good job of keeping these formats around so that there's, like, a niche for everybody.
Yeah. Now, this is what's exciting, though. This weekend, I believe it's so we're casting Wednesday, so by the time you hear this, the World Championships are going to be underway, and during this weekend, we are getting the... it is the preview of Zendikar. Yeah,
there's a good thing to talk about. We're going to bring this up for the millionth time, how fucking annoying not being at PAX is for everybody. I mean, I feel like the...
we're getting two streams this year. Two streams, dude.
I don't...
That's two more than last year.
It's pretty fucking bullshit. Like, they have this amazing rudder situation going on with PAX. It's like, you're PAX, you're the greatest thing ever, let me jerk you off. It's like, oh, you're Wizards of the Coast, you're in our backyard, let's do all of our shit there, let's jerk you off. And it's I don't know, it's strangely insulting to everyone that isn't in Seattle to try to see and absorb all of this information about the set all at once.
I know, like, why can't we watch them jerk each other off? I don't understand why that's not.
But it's just like,
I guess the same could be said about Vegas too. Like, I mean, you know.
Everyone's
invited
panels.
To Vegas. There's like, not everyone is invited to PAX.
Well, yeah, it's true.
There's like 20 panels this year, which is like, dude, huge props. I give huge props to the Wizards. 20 panels. It sounds awesome. It's 4 days of 5 days. I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. They all sound incredible, and they are filming most of them, I believe, as Mark told me. And they're gonna probably have them up on YouTube.
He needs to get fucking like TED Talks up on this shit.
I don't. I mean, I guess what it is you know, maybe they're too cheap and don't want to spend for the multiple internet connection rates that it would cost for the stream half an hour. I don't know, but it would be awesome if like. They kind of thought ahead to that and be like, hey, man, Magic is a worldwide game now. It should – if you do this gigantic event, especially for your fall set, like I don't understand why you wouldn't stream it.
And hey, if you don't want to fucking pony up the dough to fucking stream it and do it well, let the outside parties do it. No, let the outside parties do it. Like fucking
sell
issue, issue fucking press passes. No, I mean issue press passes and let fucking – Star City Games go up there and fucking stream it for them. Or let fucking...
Would they even do that? I don't think they would have any interest in doing it.
Well,
I can't imagine they would.
It's an example. Yeah, talking about, like, fucking, you know, like, gaming journalists. Fucking let them go fucking stream the shit on their fucking channel.
You know what a gaming journalist says? They're like, hey, League of Legends has 1.5 million viewers.
All right, goddammit.
Magic's got 3,000. That sounds
all right,
like
a... But if you give Marcel a press pass, that motherfucker will go to Seattle, stream the whole goddamn thing, do it beautifully, and play it on his fucking site. And then everybody that wants to be at PAX that can't be there for the whole fucking thing will be able to sit there and watch it on Marcel's site, so he's getting hits like crazy. And that motherfucker could do it well, and he could fucking roll up there. Like, that motherfucker do it on his own dime if he got an
impression. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Like, that's his job. Like, in all honesty, don't give him a fucking spoiler. Give him PAX Prime. Don't. Marcel, show up.
Don't give him the community cup, because apparently you're not going to give that to anybody. Give him a fucking press pass to fucking PAX Prime.
Go work for your shit.
And I guarantee you that motherfucker would do it. And you, there's other people out there like that that would do the same shit. So if, like, they don't want to pony up the dough to stream it and do it right, let an outside party fucking do it and be like, oh, here, you know, since we're not opening this up to the public, let it.
And let Marcel sell advertising yeah. that he makes money from out there. That would be great. Right there.
No,
heavy meta ads every 30 seconds.
They do it for one fucking year when Marcel goes up there and Marcel's fucking site explodes because everybody that wants to be a pass that yeah. can't is on there watching it and his shit fucking explodes. They're like, oh, fuck, we should have done that. And then the next year they'll be like, all right, no press passes. We're going to stream it. Hey, Marcel, can you come up here and stream this for us?
Yeah, I just think that would be great. Like, what a way to, like, leverage the resources of the people who play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let us be involved. Like, obviously you guys can't handle it. Call us up, make a few calls. Dude, I'm sure you pay Marcel's day rate, he'd be there. Come on, man. Like, that would be awesome.
I mean, the same could be said. I mean, we've said it a million since fucking, you know, episode one. They could do the same shit for Moto. They could access what this community has to offer, but they don't, you know. And
no, it's arrogance. But anyways, let's not get too negative on it because I am. Yeah. I'm honestly very excited.
You're gonna be glued to your computer screen this weekend, Maddie, to watch all those.
Well, apparently they're only streaming one.
What?
And that is the actual. Yeah, I know that. Didn't you see my tweets to Mark Rosewater where I congratulated him on all these amazing streams, and then he's like, oh, by the way. They're not being streamed. Only and I'm like, but the article says about streaming. He's like, well, it's. Then they corrected it. If you see, then they put little icons next to each one. Which ones are stream and which one are live events? So they're all. So only two events. There's the one event on Saturday, which is the from I think it's 1 to 4 p.m. PSD. That is the live battle preview. Light up for Battle for Zendikar preview, so make sure you guys catch that. And then I believe there's something on.
And by.
I want to say Friday, mean, but it could have been Sunday.
By catch that, you mean all the relevant shit that comes out of it is just going to show up on Twitter?
You know what? And this is funny because remember how many times we've had our, like, heavy meta roving reporters mm-hmm. who have been there and live tweeted, and we're just. I was glued to Twitter for that, like, half an hour, man. Yeah. That was so much fun. And then the one time me and Tristan just made fun of Elspeth and all that stuff, like, that's gold. I love, for me, this is my favorite time. Yeah. I love it.
I know,
so
this
if I could
so
watch
weird. Like, your
screen.
Excitement level about Magic the Gathering does not appear to peak more than sitting in front of your computer watching your Twitter feed about cards you don't get to play with for 2 months. And then by the time you get them, you're pretty ho-hum about the whole thing. It's weird. I mean, I'm glad you're excited about it. It's one of the cornerstones of the show, as I see it. It's
you know what's funny? It's true. My daily job as creative and brand director is to explain to clients and help them work through presenting something to the public for the first time and how to manage expectations and get keep the hype you funnel the hype into a purchase. And I think Magic does something that's horribly wrong, and that is they wait too long. So Magic, like, that Battle for Zendikar should go on sale 2 weeks. No more than 2 weeks. Preview show, spoilers 2 weeks, for sale. This is like 2 months of
waiting. No, at this point it's only 1 month.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
dude.
Still,
it's
even
October.
That,
yeah,
you let everybody go. Like,
what's 1 month?
You let
still,
everybody get
I
hyped.
Think it should be short.
You let everybody get hyped, and then you let everybody's hype fall down because this is a
exactly.
community full of Magic players that looks at the entire spoiler yeah. and goes, oh, okay, well. These cards are good, these cards aren't, so I'm not going to go buy packs,
yes.
I'm just going to buy singles of this, and fucking I'm over it.
I think that was yeah. more of the old guard. I think that now that the prevalence of, I mean, even the prevalence of limited resources, like limited resources yeah. has reached three times as great of an audience now as it was a couple of years ago. So there's
right.
just a larger audience of people more interested about the intricacies of a set than they used to be. You know,
right.
so much of the player base is the casual player base you're talking about. I think it's still the same people that you guys are trying to avoid talking about, which is EDH players, and that's where a lot of people
right.
do end up. And those are the people that are like, oh yeah, I want these four cards, this giant green sorcery, this mythic. But there are a lot more people that are like, oh, that Hill Giant variant is very exciting. Where can I find the looter in this set so that I can draft it? I think a lot of the, again, if you look at the Community Cup team this year, you'll see a lot more people that have emphasis on that kind of dissection of the set. So the community absorbs it differently than they used to. It's obviously better better. It's kind of like chew your food, really. Like, we used to just kind of, like, down it and then be done with it and want more. And now we do a better job of trying to make the flavor last.
Well,
hold on.
So here's the thing that we don't notice, and it's why, remember, they got all pissed off about breaking the metagame. And it's something I try to, like, educate people. Is like, hyper-analysis takes place now at a much faster rate. So even launching something and the digestion window is so compressed now because people just talk about it on social media straight for 2 weeks.
I've got a great example of that. So I went to Friday Night Magic last Friday, and I was able to convince, you know, the we had like 45 or something people. I was able to get one pot of Triple Cons Draft, which is kind of my jam right now because I'm pretty over Origins. And there's going to be the pack price value of cons is only going to go up. With the whole, you know what I'm about to say. You've listened to the show more than once. You know what's going on. So I sit down against for my second round opponent, a gentleman I'd never seen before. He's dressed like borderline business professional, like not even business casual. I felt like I was talking to an attorney. anyway,
he's rules lowering you.
Well, like he pulled his bag out of he pulled his deck out of like his briefcase before we sat down. I mean, I'm not exaggerating here.
That's awesome.
So, or you know, we're sitting, we're chatting, and I was like, oh, you know, yeah, I haven't seen you here before. It's nice to meet you. Like, you know, what made you decide to draft cons tonight? And he's like, oh, you know, I've actually, you know, I take the BART to and from work in the city. The BART is the Bay Area Mass Transit. It's pretty much the subway system, but we don't have underground shit. We have above ground shit. So the guy takes the train to and from work. He's like, I've already listened to like 16 hours of podcasts about Origins Limited. I just feel like I'm already over it. So, you know, this format's a little more fun for me. And I was like, oh, yeah, like,
it's true.
I feel like you just drafted it too much. You're done with it. Actually, I've only drafted it once. But
wow.
I feel like I know it already. And I don't really want to anymore. And I was like, that is something that a Magic player could not have said 24 months ago. Like, there's not like,
I feel like you missed an opportunity there when he said, I've listened to all these podcasts about this, and you didn't, like, right off the bat be like, oh, but have you listened to Heavy Meta yet?
He doesn't promote this show. Don't even think. No, you know what? That is very true. I find that by the time I even get out to the pre-releases, that I feel like I'm kind of like, I've already peaked, right? And we said it's in the past, and I know it probably doesn't work for marketing, but it would be so great if one time, just one time, we could get a set that just had a very short window where spoilers, and then, you know, Monday, and then that Friday, you get the pre-release. And just let it be fresh. Like, I don't know what all these cards do. I don't know that this is the mythic everybody wants. I don't know anything. And just, every pack, you just take an extra 30 seconds to look at these cards and be like, holy fuck, I would love that experience. Maybe I need to go into a sensory
deprivation
tank or something, right? And just, like, cast from there, and then when you guys talk, I just have to, like, you I don't know. But
no, but see, that's the problem. I totally get what you're saying, and I want the same experience. It would be fucking sweet to me, like, throw out, like, you know, just do the whole, like, fucking super teaser, like, we're going to tell you, you know, we're going to throw a bunch of, you know, advertising marketing shit out there that's like, you know, oh, the Eldrazi are coming, like, shit like that, but don't fucking spoil any goddamn cards. And then literally, like, the Monday that you're talking about, throw out, you know, five of the mythics from the fucking set. Or whatever, and that's it. Everybody shows up at the pre-release, opens packs, and knows shit about the set, except for maybe those five mythics they threw out. And that's it.
I mean, you could spoil all the mythics.
You could go into sensory deprivation, and then all that's going to happen is you're going to fucking show up at the pre-release, and some 8-year-old kid's going to tell you you're an idiot for playing that card because he's seen the whole fucking set for a month, and fucking he knows,
you know,
damn good and well it's terrible.
But you know what? Could you imagine, like, it's funny because in life, it's the moments that you first experience something are the things that you remember the most. Uh-huh. Like, I wish I could have done that with cons. Cause imagine cracking that pack. And when I went to the pre-release, I pulled a, what's the fucking black red fetchland?
Bloodstained Mire.
Bloodstained Mire. I pulled a regular and a foil out of a pack. I would have gone mental. Like, just like, what? There's fetchlands in this fucking set? And then the foil? Like, that would have been fun as hell. Like, I don't know. I maybe I just need to I don't know if it's possible. I'm not even sure. We probably talked
about this quite a bit at our little roundtable dinner in Vegas. We talked about the logistics. I feel like, you know, we in the know in the community know the limitations and what could or couldn't be done. And as much as I still, you know, maybe I'm always the pessimistic one on the show, but I feel like, you know, as much as we can't actually do it, I would definitely imagine a product that's more hidden. You know, conspiracy is a good barometer for this. And there's another reason I wish conspiracy had been received better, because I don't think that they're going to have the opportunity to do something of that caliber anytime soon.
Really?
Anytime
you don't
soon.
Think they're going
to
do another one?
Yeah, you know, conspiracy in many ways is similar to an unset. And its sales were not great. Its community reception was not great. If it had gone off like gangbusters, like I'd always hoped it had, I think the window would have been a lot closer to us seeing something closer to, you know, hey, you show up on Friday and maybe you know half the cards, or maybe they mislabeled stuff on purpose and it was all an illusion and the things shifted in magic. And that would be a ton of fun. I agree with you completely. I wish we could have a pre-release where no one knew any of the cards. I can still remember driving to regional pre-releases with the spoiler printout that only had like 2/3 of the cards and didn't have like everything 100% accurate. And those times were great, but we just live in this information saturation age where it reminds me of like hidden treasures in Zendikar, where
yes,
halfway across the globe, you know, somebody finds a candelabra in a pack. And the internet spends 6 hours breaking it down to figure out if it's real. And before we even get our hands on packs in the United States, it's confirmed, and we know that the thing is real. When that was meant to be, you know, one of the greatest surprises in the current era of Magic. So if we were to do that with a set, I think us in North America, there's 0% chance we could get that true authentic experience.
What about this? Now we had the God packs, and then we had the Dog Pack packs. I know I've seen these. Do you think that they should start doing more?
Yeah, what's a dog?
It was the mongrel pack. It was a pack. It was all, if you in draft, in the pre-release, you'd just get all dogs. It was the freaking dog. I can't remember what it was. And it tapped a guy. Anyways, the point is, like, they've done these special little packs I've seen. Do you think they should do more of that? Like, just for pre-releases? I think that's, like, such a home run awesomeness, man.
Something like the God pack is a little more... I mean, I like how it's special. I like how it's kind of this underground thing you find out about, and then it permeates through this social network about it. Like that kind of viral marketing is really cool. It's not the same feeling. Like it's like that string of sets. Like we had like 3 or 4 sets in a row where like a random common from the next set would be opened in a booster pack.
Spoiled. Yeah, that was cool.
And to this day, no one has confirmed how that random card that obviously is nowhere near the print sheet for those cards ended up in that pack. That stuff's, it's kind of cool, but does it enhance gameplay?
No, you're right. It's not a gameplay measure that I'm talking about. It's more that I want to try to combat the feeling of being past peak excitement by the time I get to actually touch the cards, right? Like, that's kind of what I'm, like, especially for Battle for Zendikar, I'm actually kind of considering not looking at spoilers. Like, I don't, maybe, but then I'm I honestly don't think I could do it for three weeks.
I mean, good luck with that.
I don't even know if I could do it, because, like, I have to watch it.
I know,
just for the
right? You're going to watch the shit out of that panel this weekend. We're going to be on Skype talking about it on Saturday. Like, we all know how it's going to go down.
Oh, my God. Then I'm going to see a planeswalker and be like, it's 6, man. What a piece of shit. Yeah. Oh, that is the best. And that, you know what? This time, folks, because I know it's going to happen, I want you guys in the MTG Finance community, because I think we bat 100%. The cards we say are shit are guaranteed home runs. Guaranteed. Yeah. Just insta-buy. Pre-order whatever.
We're one of the premier finance podcasts out there. It's just
that's true.
You have to work it in reverse.
That's right.
Every time it's all dyslexic. This is the fucking card. This is the fucking card. You know to stay away from that card. And when we say it's garbage, that also pick that shit up.
So I drafted triple cons last Friday. I forgot to take a photo of my deck because that's a little played out. But you'll never guess what I drafted, Maddie. I drafted a sweet Abzan Hardened Scales deck.
Oh, dude. Okay, funny enough, Harden Scales, I've been tweeting those rogue builds going around. I don't know, man. That looks pretty fucking good to me.
Never does.
I think that deck looks fun, man.
You know what's funny is it's. I swear to God, as much as I championed that fucking card, I don't even remember what it does.
Oh, it puts an extra counter
on you. To be fair, to Kevin.
Yeah, that's right.
We did an entire episode where Matt called had a rage card on for Hardened Scales, and Kevy had one for Deflecting Palm, so...
Yeah. Oh, Deflecting Palm was so good though for one event in Modern. I still to this day people are gun shy or they're hand shy or palm shy about like going for the win with Infect against any deck playing red white.
Oh yeah.
Because you never know, man. You're okay. Go ahead, man. You got me. Hit me for the win. Boom, Deflecting Palm. You're dead. Like. Dude,
that once. I had to do that one time, and it was the greatest feeling in my life. Now I got a signed foil one that I got sent from a fan. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
I love the shit, man. It's fucking.
I love that card. I want more.
It's a pet card. In fact, I don't play it, but it's a pet card.
It's in my cube. Fuck, man. Why not? Right? Totally ruin your game.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I think this time I'm gonna try to. Ah, fuck, I'm lying. I'm not. I'm going to fucking absorb every goddamn thing.
You know what?
I'm going to analyze the
set.
Art.
Do it for, sorry, there are no more middle sets. Do it for a secondary set.
There's no middle set.
Because like,
I can't because now the secondary set is like another new set, dude. I got to say, I am super excited for this new rotation schedule because I was burnt out on third sets. Burnt out, man. Like, I just didn't give a fuck. Theros came out or Journey to Nyx. I was like, I don't give a shit. The third one in fucking Innistrad didn't give a shit. So I love they go first set and close set. Oh, I love it. It's going to be good.
Now,
and then give me something
new. Speaking of that, did you touch at all on Rosewater's design article?
I did. It's is that the one where he revisited
the whole block, kind of like breaking down how it went down, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I'm definitely interested in, you know, in terms of game design, in terms of the way it's perceived by players and how it affects Magic. It's funny things that I agreed with and things I hadn't really thought about.
Oh, man, you're totally going robot, dude. You're like Dormagora Grotto right now.
Robot? Nothing's changed.
You're like the Terminator. Oh, my God, please don't kill me. I'm not Sarah Connor. Dude, you're just like blipping and blopping. Blip, blop, 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 blop. You're doing Donald Trump right now. Blop, 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 blop.
This is so weird. Nothing has changed on my end.
All right, Kevy, are you available? Kevy is gone silent.
We know he's gone.
All right, now you're back.
Right, that
you're
was
back.
Weird. That was weird. And
no, but is he back?
Am I back? I don't know. Am I back?
No, Kevy, you're back. You're good.
No, Kevy's BRB from a while ago. We know that.
Oh, okay. Okay, so here's the thing about Morrow's article, which I found interesting. Where he goes and analyzes, like, the last year and what was success in that, and then at the end of the article, not to give it away, but he kind of says, well, I don't really want to do it anymore because it's setting the bar, or maybe he doesn't want to reveal shit about what's going on. But, like, Dragons was very interesting that, you know, it was called Dragons, but there wasn't any Dragons of Common, which made a lot of sense. But I disagree that a lot of people, the comments that he made about like what he would have done would have been flip it so that Dragons was the first set and Cons was the last set. I don't know. I think I was really excited for the first set. That's where all your like momentum is. I don't think you put your best idea third.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you, but at the same time, you're the one who's sitting here being like, man, by the time that third set rolled around, I didn't give a shit at all.
Yeah, and I think, though, I wouldn't have cared if it, whatever it was, because I didn't want to be in the world anymore. I was bored.
I think I agree with what Mark was saying about how, you know, the Cons were so strong in that area of development.
I think they just played well together. Like that.
No,
that,
I love
there was
cons.
No
I mean, to me, Triple Cons is...
Oh, Cons is one of the best. Yeah. I agree. Like, Triple Cons is on par with Innistrad for sure. I enjoyed the shit out of that format. But I feel like Dragons, when you drafted it, there was no, like... I mean, the Cons, you're trying to put together Abzan, right? Like, the Dragons, you're just not really doing that. So maybe they just should have done it where the Dragons felt more like tribes. Or that there was better synergy. Like, I don't know. To me, yeah, reveal a dragon in your hand to get a spell bonus was okay, I guess. But then it just encourages you to just draft all the fucking dragons. So, I don't know. I would have liked there to be more, like, a draft personality if you're going, like, Slumgar, you know?
I stand by that, you know, I remember all the way back when they talked about making wedge clans and then immediately saying, you're only going to have wedge clans in that first set. And that was pretty distressing. It was definitely a lingering why, because those clans were so strong, they were great. And I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I definitely could have used at least one more set of those clans, and those mechanics. They work so hard. I mean, a lot of those have permeated into other forms, whether it be sets in the block or prowess moving over into the core set. And we just, you know, kind of like, why can't we have more of that?
Is what.
Not pretty much nothing. I mean, we're just talking about we're talking about how Khan's block could have been one of the greatest blocks ever. Instead, Khan's of Tarkir is pretty much one of the best sets ever. And then there was this strange, awkward thing that Marrow points out, which I completely believe in, which is that you try to have dragons be the dragon set, but Fate had dragons in it, so you really diluted the fact that you were making a dragon set following. And granted, you didn't fuck it up as bad as Dragon's Maze, which literally had no dragons. They learned from that mistake. But you really lessened the wow factor the dragons could have been. So, you know, like, is there lessons to be learned, but it's a three set block structure that may or may not exist anymore? You know, to me, again, it does come down to playability, draftability, and long-term value. I still really like all three of those sets, although I do feel Dragons is the least draftable. I think Blue-Black is really strong. There isn't as much balance. Formidable is a little bit on the weaker side if you're trying to get it going, but obviously once it is going, it's really good. You've assembled Voltron, et cetera, et cetera. I love Triple Khan's. Khan's Fate is great. Overall, the sets are great. Manifest, which I originally thought was going to be a shit show, turned out really well. Who knows?
Megamorph sucked balls.
Megamorph was just a giant cop-out. I mean, like, who was excited by Megamorph?
Nobody. Well, that's the thing. At least he admitted it, that Megamorph was bad. But his solution to Megamorph was even stupider. Like, what everybody doesn't want is, I don't want a slightly better morph. I'm sick, especially after having Morph and Manifest. I don't want to play with that anymore. Put that away. You know what I'm saying? Like, enough. Make one or two cards, but, like, please. I don't want to play with that anymore. I want to play with new stuff. Imagine, though, if they had just had dragons. Although I kind of liked how each set played better or played differently with the middle set, which was cool. So, you know what? It was the last third set. We don't have to worry about it. I think it was, fairly well done for what you can do.
I liked it. Again, I like Khan's block overall. I think it's a great block. The quality of Khan's, though, compared to Dragon's, is pretty disparate, though, in my opinion. And that's why I try to get people to draft Khan's at FNM. I think it's got to enjoy it as much as I can while it's out there, and the pack prices should go up, although you can currently get them on Mass Drop for 87, including shipping. So, you know, use that information as you will.
I will.
He's back.
I am back. Sorry, it's still not the greatest. I'm like having some weird connection problems or something. So
did you
sorry kick about
Maddie,
that.
Though, by you coming back,
probably there's a good chance I did.
No, you didn't kick. Right. Did you kick me?
No.
I'm good. I'm here. Oh. No, I was gonna say we were just talking about Marl's design article about or not design article, his year in review article where.
Oh.
Is it whatever it's called? I don't. I really kind of skim those articles now because I'm just like, it's just Maro telling everyone how awesome he is and shit. And it's just, a lot of times I don't think it's deep enough or critical enough to generate anything. I don't know. Mm. Apparently, Magic Origin is doing super well and awesome.
It's a good thing that that's when my internet connection started going to shit because I had nothing to contribute. You guys still sound like robots, but it's okay. I can hear what you're saying, so fuck it.
You sound pretty clear to me, so.
Hey, that's a
plus.
It's
all good. That's right. If you don't sound like a robot, then it's all working.
That's the important part.
I'll tell you this. One day, we're going to get the internet to work properly. One day. But not today.
I think it's ironic because exactly that. My shit's been fine forever. as soon as we start talking about, oh, it's like going back to the old heavy meta, I start hearing robot voices and fucking my shit's all fucked up. Can't get my internet connection to work. Like, yeah, it's everything's all fucked up on my end. But at least if I sound good there, then fuck it, because I can at least still hear you guys.
Then that's all that matters. I was going to say, is there anything else like in Magic that we should even touch on?
Well, I've been playing in more PPTQs recently as
apparently you got a playset of sperm faces now.
Oh, well that's just your casual F&Ms. No one should be missing those. Yeah, I've got my 4 out of 75 cards to play twin ready to go whenever
the time comes. Boom.
Awesome. Damn, I need those. Get me some, man. Keep winning.
there's only one more week of August, and even if I go to the Thursday draft, I can only probably wrangle two more without having to sit there and try to trade with kids. My God, what a shit show that is.
How much are they going for? Not that we're a finance cast, but I'm just curious.
They're like $8 to $10 US right now.
Oh man, we get so taken up here. They're like $20 up here. Ugh. That's absurd.
Yeah, but that's absurd. Yeah, that's Canadian dollars.
Yeah. Nah, Canadian translation would be like paying $12 if it's $10. Then.
Yeah, I've started to learn that as I like when I buy cards from face to face, I always forget that it's in Canadian dollars, and I'm just all
you're like, why is this shit so expensive?
Yeah, I do, and I'm just all Jesus Christ. Like, I don't want to be an asshole. I love these guys, but why is your shit so expensive? And they're like, oh wait, that's why. It's in Canadian dollars.
It's in maple money. It's not
exactly.
Real.
Exactly. Yeah. My God. This shit's supposed to be like Monopoly money. This shit should be free.
Oh man. And the other funny thing. So I tweeted to you on the weekend, I think, and I was like, Kevy, what do I buy? Foil Tasiger foil or a Bolt?
Or no, it was promo Bolt or a fucking playset of Tasigers. Please tell me you bought the promo Bolt.
Okay, I waited.
When you started with okay, I know this is not.
I made such a bad decision. You know what? You can't. I'll be honest. I've been trying to get a place at a promo bolts forever, for like a year now. And every time I try to get them, I wait like a day too long, or something happens, or the guy doesn't want to sell them anymore. And there was a playset, and I was like, I can't justify $50 Canadian each. It's like, that's expensive. But I was like, I want to play it. I'll put it in my Team Geist deck. I could put it in like anything. I'm like, it's probably the time I should do this. And I know, I'm like, I just need to hear it. I need to hear someone to tell me. So as soon as you told me, I was like, fuck it, I'm buying it. And it's sold. Oh! So not by accident, but in like a horrible, pitiful, like, I started drinking, and I ended up ordering 2 foil Tasigers. I'm like, why did I do that? I'm like, my God. And now I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. So now I got like 2 foil Tasigers coming. I'm like, wee, I guess. I'm like, why foil? Why foil?
Out of any card, I could see one, like, out of any card that I think you need because you're just like Mr. Banana Hammock, like, you like that guy enough that, like, you need to have a foil one of those. Kind of like I need to have foil bolts and shit. Like, I get that. Now, I mean, this is also coming from the guy who got rid of his fucking promo bolts. Like,
I can't believe you did that. Sickens me to this day.
And I don't get me wrong, I still have one. It's still in my fucking cube, but I got rid of the other 3, and they didn't go far. They just went to David, and I got a fucking TV out.
Well, that's pretty good.
I got a TV out of it. All right.
Yeah, I feel like this was a legit fucking trade. I never would have done this in a million years had I not got my fucking my beta sign bolts. Now those are the bolts that I use in fucking everything. Like, I mean, I love that car. I love Lightning Bolt enough that, like, I'm that guy that's like, well, if I need Lightning Bolt in somebody else in something else, I will unsleeve and resleeve into this. Like, I've got no problem fucking floating those around back and forth. But it was like the premier bolts that I had, like the best bolts I had, were the promo bolts. Then I got the playset of signed fucking beta bolts, and I got to rock those. And so I was like, okay, now these other, and don't get me wrong, they're promo fucking bolts. They're fucking amazing. But they were also just kind of sitting there because I had these other mo better ones, or just more expensive.
It's funny because, like, as you start to play the game, and you probably find this too, and it's not just because you love Burn and everyone knows that and it's funny, because I think you play other decks and you'll eventually broaden your way out, but for someone like me,
I've been thinking about that lately, and we'll get into that. That'll be an interesting
one. Okay, there you go. But it's funny, because I want to build a gauntlet, like I want to try to, like, you know, eventually one day, I don't know, have enough decks so that you could have a couple decks, but, you know, you want to play the other decks and build them, and it's like, every time I play with a regular Lightning Bolt, and I see, like, Scotty had the Lightning Bolt I want, even the kid I played at the last Modern Invitational had the good Lightning Bolts, I'm like, why am I playing with this shit? Like, any other card, I don't care about. It's so weird. I just want that card, man.
It's the fact that it's so prevalent in modern, it is.
It's so perfect. It's a lightning bolt.
The shitty part is, like, you know, I love the newer art for it. The artwork is awesome. When you look at the newer artwork for Lightning Bolt compared to the old Chris Rush artwork, like, it's a better painting altogether. Yep. Of a Lightning Bolt, but there's just something about that old one, or especially that beautiful fucking promo art, which, I mean, like, I really don't even need the promos, because I'm just turned around in my chair, and I'm staring at the amazing print that I got from Mildivane.
Yes.
So, like, if I ever miss that fucking, you know, that promo bolt artwork, I'm like, that's okay, it's really big on
my wall. It's on the wall.
Right there. That artwork is fucking amazing. But, like, you know, it's Lightning Bolt. You could pay fucking $3 for one, or you could pay fucking $50 for one, but it's fucking Lightning Bolt. You need the expensive ones. They're fucking awesome.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, like, for a lot of people that, you know, are like, ah, modern cards are getting so expensive, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found shocking, because I was sure that, like, when we were in Vegas and I was trying to get Dark Confidence, I was sure that the cards we were buying there were going to be way overpriced. And now, looking back, I'm like, everything I bought there is, like, was super fucking cheap compared to, like, what I can get it for now. And I'm like, that's just so crazy. Like, usually, you know, you're at the GPs or that, and everybody's jacking their prices up, but, oh, man, especially I wish I could go back in time.
I think that was a thing, like, I mean, Modern Masters is kind of a thing. Like, it's a weird...
Yeah, it was probably like a...
You gotta look at it like this. Like, the first one, like, the first Modern Masters, we've been through this a million times, like, you know, they went fucking rogue with that shit. They're like, here, we're gonna reprint all these fucking crazy ass cards. And the first Modern Masters was fucking awesome. It was a great draft set, and it was also had a lot of good shit in it. Then we had already been, you know, softened up a little bit by the first Modern Masters. And then the second one came around, and everybody's all, this is garbage. Like, this is nothing compared to... and when you really look back at it months later, you're like, oh, it's not so much that it was garbage. It was like, oh, this is kind of garbage compared to the first Modern Masters. There's way more of it printed. And, like, you know, of course, we got our fucking weird magic brains in there, and they're like, well, they didn't reprint this, blah, blah. Like, I think the biggest impact that Modern Masters 2 had on the market was the shit that they didn't reprint. But, like... plain and simple, there's still a lot of good expensive cards in Modern Masters 2. But everybody was so inundated with this whole, like, Modern Masters 2 is shit compared to the first one, that even the vendors were like, oh, yeah, we should probably just drop our prices on all this shit. And then the market stabilized, and it's like, oh, wait, we might have fucked up.
How's that voice bet going? Cards...
Oh, that's a good question.
Now, the Goyf bet, here's the thing that I went back and re-listened to it to clarify. When we were making that bet, we had MTGO Goldfish open, and Tarmogoyf was at $178 on there. That was where the bet was made. I don't know where all these other numbers came out from about, like, $190, because
I don't know where that's coming from. I know that somebody went back through, and, like, and this is definitely a good, like, we not only do we need to update the public on this, but the public needs to update us on this, because we're good at drinking and forgetting what we said before. But we have people like fucking Bruce Lee that listen to all our shit and then know where that, like, that motherfucker will pop off with, like, oh, this is the fucking timestamp, this is the episode, and
yeah, he actually has everything memorized. But
and,
I'm yeah, just
and,
saying
and
that,
I don't think he goes back and listens to it either. I think he just absorbed recall. You know, some people have like a photographic memory. He's just got like
I'm
an audio.
Pretty sure we
tape
put all the details on the Facebook group.
Yeah, unfortunately, like you put the wrong details. Because
oh, I see how it is.
No. I wouldn't have made the bet. If someone had told me 190, I wouldn't have made that bet.
I feel like before you say anything else, and I haven't looked at the price of Tarmogoyf in the last fucking month or two, but I feel like you have, and you're not doing so well in the bet because you sound like you're trying to alter the terms.
No. I'm just like, it is sitting at 154 right now. So either way, I wouldn't.
Now here's the thing though. It's like, if it's sitting at 154 right now, is that on Goldfish?
Yep.
Okay. Now here's the thing is we did decide, and I very specifically remember this, to try to weed out the bullshit. Like, you know, like Goldfish uses, Goldfish uses like an algorithm to check all the prices, fucking whatever, like I'm pretty sure we decided that, like, I think we went off a TCG mid, but it was like to get a
see
plate.
I don't remember that, because like why would if the number was sitting
no
although
no,
here's what's interesting here, no, the, here's the interesting
so that we didn't like so that you didn't lose off of a rogue number you we didn't want you to lose the bet because some asshole was selling a Tarmogoyf for $100.
But it's average. It's the average. Here's the thing that's interesting though, and I don't know if we clarified this, but the Modern Masters 2015 edition is 154. Original Modern Masters is 180.
Yeah, it's a whole different story, but like from what I remember, but
which
I believe
printing did we have?
We definitely said the lowest of any printing out there you could get them for.
All right.
Yes, the lowest.
Well,
and
come
and
on, Tarmogoyf, we got some work to do.
That's the whole thing with the playset. You also needed to be able to get a playset because we didn't want some rogue asshole fucking.
As long as you could your mint copies at a certain price, and I'm pretty sure it's in the 180 something range.
No, you can get them for like 149.
Well, no, I'm saying with the bet with that.
Yeah, if you buy one. But where the bet applies, you have to be able to buy four for the same fucking vendor.
Yeah, what the price is for four of them. Either way, I'm looking at TCG Player right now. I could buy four of them and not spend more than 138 apiece.
Wow.
You know what's funny, though? It's like
fucking near mint.
Yeah, I can get four near mint copies and buy them from guys with at least 2,000 feedback, $137, $138.
See now I get that, and I have checked in from time to time on the bet. But here's the thing that always has been that this entire time has been scaring the shit out of me is the fact that Modern Season is going to kick in before that bet ends.
It might. Here's what's really weird, though.
I feel like it's going to pop back up.
In Canada, right now, if you go to, like, Face or any store, Goyfs are, like, $2.25.
Yeah, but that's Canadian dollars.
Yeah, well, actually, it's even more. It's, like, $2.40 Canadian, which even translates still to, like, just below $200, like, $195 or, like, $205. I know, but my brain is, like, we get charged so much more up here. It's crazy.
Are you saying we need to send you Tarmogoyfs? Is that what you're saying?
No. Although, you know what is funny, though?
Run them across the border.
What is funny, if you can get, like, a mint Tarmogoyf for, like, let's say, $40 right now, I mean, they were buying for $130. They were buying them at $130 in Vegas,
I mean, that,
which is
that markup
crazy.
Is insane if they're buying for $130 and selling for $225 up there.
Well, yeah, well, that's why they were doing it, dude. And people buy them up here.
But you're also talking about the fucking the time spread there, too.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I mean,
anyways.
All I know is these Modern Masters 2 cards are going to be down across the board. You can get Vendilion Clicks for $45 in the United States. You can get Dark Confidants for $40. You can get Karns for $35. Nobles for $35. Opals for $35. Cryptics for $30.
While we were talking about Dark Confidants, I probably should just put this out there. I have.
Here we go.
Okay. Well, no, I have my playset of fucking Dark Confidants, but like I originally had my playset of fucking Ravnica Dark Confidants. Don't get me wrong, I like them, but
I like the new art better, man.
The Modern Masters ones are me, and I kind of need those nowadays. Yeah. The Ravnica Dark Covenants are worth more than the new art version of them.
Are they?
No, yeah. They've got to be. They've got to be.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think so.
Yeah, now, yeah, they're definitely.
I'm not even going to look. There's no way that that's not true.
No,
I much prefer the new art.
Okay, so the first time, the first old art that I fucking traded off was to Reverian on fucking Twitter. I forget his fucking
okay,
name.
Okay, here, I gotta jump in. So modern, okay, hold on. Modern Master.
Let me finish the statement. When I traded that across, that was a fucking Modern Masters 1 version of it, and it was worse than the old one. Now, I traded it to him, and he was cool with just trading straight across because it was only a few dollars difference. Then the second Kevy Bob that I got was after Vegas 2, I traded one to Marcel, and Marcel said he wants the old ones, and he'd be more than happy to pay the difference. And I said, you know what? You're fucking Marcel, and I want the Kevy ones, so I'll just trade it to you straight across. And there was like a $10 to $15 difference at that point, I think. But so like they've fluctuated. And it, like basically what I was getting to is I need to get rid of those other two fucking Bobs and turn them into Kevies. So, you know, our listeners out there that might be holding on to Kevies and want Bobs, you know, hit me up on
Twitter. There you go.
Send a Kevy and a $5 bill to Ridgecrest.
Yes, well, exactly.
Here's what's funny. So modern
back a fucking a Bob and a bag of meth.
A bag of meth. So Modern Masters 1. It's $49, but Modern Masters 2, it's $40. So almost like a $9 difference. Exact same art, looks the same, but people hate the Modern Masters 2 glossiness.
This is across the board. Everybody wants, and it's also the supply. It's just like every other fucking card out there. Like, you will see that fucking rise in the one that it wasn't printed in as much. And that's because people who have the same fucking card, same shit, but they're like, oh, you know what? This is the Modern Masters 1 version, which is more expensive because there was way less of it printed than Modern Masters 2, even though it's the same goddamn card with a different fucking expansion symbol.
You know what? TSG steered me right when he told me, he's like, if you can get any cards there, buy Modern Masters 1. So they feel different though. They're less glossy. I like them. They look better, even though it's exact same
set of Modern Masters 1 Bobs for $35 each.
I did.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
But original Ravnica Bob $51. Mm-hmm. So $3 difference. Well, $2.80. So that's interesting. I don't know why Modern Masters 2 cards should be. There's that much of a disparity. That seems a little crazy, but who knows? Do people hate them because of the glossiness?
I honestly thought the big price disparity between Modern Masters 1 and 2 is a supply. There's still Modern Masters 2
supply?
Packs.
I don't know.
No, I really think it is. It was obviously known that they were printing more of it than the first one, and maybe it's people looking long-term, whatever, but they know that there's more printed of 2 than there was 1, and across
the board. That's a TSG question. TSG, does anyone care?
Yes, people care. Not only that,
really?
But the best example here is,
come on.
I could still walk into my local game store and buy Modern Masters 2 packs at retail. No
you
problem.
You cannot get those.
Really?
Yeah, how much is a pack of Modern Masters?
You can't get them here.
I said Modern Masters 2.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can go buy
it's $9.99. I can drive 15 minutes and go get packs for $10.
Right, and then how much does a pack of Modern Masters 1 go for?
It's like 18 or something, or no, I know more than that.
Yeah, it's like, isn't it $40? Well, up here it's $40.
Well,
so
I'm trying to remember what
$30.
The retail on those initially was supposed to be $8, right?
Right.
Yes.
And the retail on 2 was what?
$10.
Okay, so it jumps up $2 a pack. But the supplies.
Here, you know what's interesting? So now, it's so good, man. Goldfish has prices of packs.
I love it.
So you can get. It's absurd the amount of money they put into this site. It's absolutely just. It just has so much fucking information. So let's look it up. So we've got.
I can do the same thing on TCG Player.
Yeah, well, I'm faster than you. oh my God! So a box of Modern Masters, $208 right now.
Modern Masters 2015 or Modern Masters 1?
2015.
That makes more sense.
A, Original Modern Masters booster box is $349. So there you go. Now where's the
math breaks down? I can buy packs. I can buy 100 packs on TCG Player Modern Masters 1 at $10.50 each, shipping included.
Wow.
Which is
well, there you go, people.
Which is even cheaper than buying it retail in my own state because I'm not paying sales tax.
Well, there you go. So there you go. Everybody, you gotta, if you want your shit, get it now because...
And there's plenty of the... My whole point is there's still plenty of this product out here, and it's a conversation we had last week about how, you know, the community isn't even willing to spend that amount to just break the product to get it into the environment to suppress prices. There's still plenty of this stuff out there. I mean, look at the TCB game.
$10 a pack is still jacked.
I'm not saying it's not jacked. I'm just saying there's plenty of... Like, you're saying there aren't enough Tarmogoyfs in print, or we've stopped saying that, because there are. There's enough in print that are still sitting in booster packs that you could get. Look at the number two listed seller on TCG Player has 22 boxes listed at $215 with shipping included.
I just don't think people have been brainwashed to not crack booster packs because it's a waste of money. So everybody's waiting for someone else to take the loss. And then how many times? Look, remember Luke's box? It sucked balls. Yeah. Like I don't the booster box I have. I'm like I want to crack it, but I'm like I'm gonna feel like
you can go back in Gumby's Twitter post. He bought a box for $200 off of Bernie when we were down there, and his was worth it.
Yeah, it really just depends.
I got my Goyce now, so like now I'm like, well, I could get Kevy's Goyce if I lose the bet.
You might have to get, you might get my Goyce out of there.
That's what I'm saying, right?
If you break that fucking box open and you open enough Goyce to release into the environment, it might drop the price. So.
That could be the cause of me losing the bet. No way I'm doing that.
You might want to wait till after the bet, then break the box
after
open.
The bet. Hey, Kevy, I don't got a Goyf for you. Let me go see if I can find one. All right. Well, I don't know. What else is going on? Anything interesting before we hit the hole here?
I was trying to tell you guys about the PPTQ system, and again, yeah, sorry, I feel like this...
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Overall, I'm still a fan, although I have now been to enough events to realize that there are a lot of grinders out there, and that is pleasant or unpleasant, depending on how you choose to look at it, I feel like. and I've been to multiple events that have been capped, and it's kind of brought up the question to a lot of people. It's like, you know, the smaller the size of a venue, how much more are you willing to pay to be at these things? Because it's very much legitimately increasing your chances to win one, which feels pretty awkward. Not gonna sugarcoat that. But I don't know. Now the most recent interesting development is here in the Bay Area. We've got a store in San Francisco that has pretty much bought the right to host events from other smaller stores that didn't want to bother to put together a PPTQ. But there's already something in place that says, you know, you can't run your the event that's set aside for your store.
First of all, how do you buy the event? Do I pay you? Like kickback wise?
Well, I'm going to explain what I know of the details. So this weekend is the first of these problem events where
problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a legit problem because on the website it says, you know, if you go to the Wizards website, it has the name of a store, the location of said store. You think, oh, it's all fine and dandy. That's where the event is happening. Now, conversely, if you go to the website of a partner, of a different store. Strangely, the event is being held at the pizzeria next to the store that is partnered with the store that's supposed to be holding
pizzeria.
The
pizzeria.
Yeah,
I like their choice of venue.
Well, what's going to happen, and it's funny because the event I went to that was legitimately at this store, they had all their overflow players at the pizza place. And now,
no way.
Yeah,
is that a benefit? I would think that's a benefit to play with pizza. I don't know.
I'm not saying
that's what we do. Like fucking, there's only so many people that fit in Just Imagine. If you go two doors down, you're at Subway. It's air conditioned, and you can buy a sandwich. Fuck it.
Well, this place. So they're playing top eight in Subway.
Is yeah.
That?
my whole point here is that they are circumventing the rules about stores kind of selling off their slots to other stores. Now, and again, if you ask the store that's running it in question, oh, it's a partnership, you know, it's no money has changed hands whatsoever. But it is very suspicious that an event that says it's being, you know, 50 miles away from where it's actually being held, and then where it's actually being held is at the pizza place adjacent to the store, where I'm sure the store is going to become overflow seating for the event itself.
So how do you combat this, or do you care?
What's
the deal to you?
These are more growing pains of the system we have in place, as I look at it. The way I see this, it's just one more problem that we have with the current PPTQ schedule and system when you take it away from what used to be regional tournament organizers. I'm not saying I have a solution as how to fix that problem right now. I'm just saying this is not right. Like, if some of my friends hadn't done more research and really dug into the issue, they would have driven to the wrong place on Saturday, and they wouldn't have been able to make it to the correct location in time to play. That would have led to a lot of really bad feel-bads.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess. I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, this is the new system, how we got to play. I don't see how you stop that.
Okay.
I don't see how you... Like, I mean, maybe... Well, you, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to force a store to hold an event that doesn't fire?
This particular time around, it would be as simple as holding your goddamn zip code. Like, it would be, okay. That would be enough of a solution. But I'm sure that in the future, there could arise other problems that I'm not foreseeing right now.
Yeah. I don't really think this is.
You guys don't go to these events. I'm talking to the wrong people. Our audience does. It's something they should be aware of. You know, double check. Just because you go to the Wizards website, and I would have been guilty of this too, because when I looked at the next round of PPTQ schedule, I mapped out stores that were within a couple hours of my place, stuff I could try to make a weekend out of with people I knew. And already it's being contradicted, because I was interested in going to that event possibly in the South Bay and then one over closer to Sacramento on the Sunday. And it completely changes the travel plans, and it changes the plans of the people that I know, what they're going to do and what they're willing to do. And that can happen to anybody that's trying to grind these events, you know, kind of take in as much of this magic as you can.
So what is your goal out of all these?
I'm just having fun.
So then who gives a shit? Just go play F&M, man.
I do play F&M, unlike some people on this podcast.
God, F&M is so
far
away.
It's so over there.
It's honestly, F&M is just on a bad day. Friday is like, you're just...
Why don't they start leagues in paper at local game stores?
Oh my god, leagues in paper. Don't they do that already? Yeah, just up to your store.
I don't know, do they? Fucking, I don't know.
I don't have time for a league.
What's going on at Just Imagine?
You guys know what's
going on at Just Imagine?
Yeah, we close it.
Corona leagues.
Oh yeah. Maybe we should start having leagues going on so that people have something to look forward to every week instead of like, oh, good, F&M again. I can't make it to F&M because it's Friday.
Everybody wants to do something else. I mean, I like it in concept, but I wish there was like a Saturday morning F&M.
I mean, there is. Those are usually...
That would not be a fucking F&M! That's not an F&M.
It's S&M.
You're interested in playing Magic in Saturday morning, but you don't want to do it for more than like 2.5 to 3.5 hours.
Well, yeah.
You know what? The truth is, I just got to convince Face just open a location in Oakville. And then I'm down. Then I could play. But it's like a 3-hour drive to Toronto. So
give me that bullshit. It is not 3 hours.
It is 3-hour drive. No. Traffic? Oh, my God. Come on. Okay, first of all, to make it on a Friday at 7 o'clock, I would have to leave here at 3 o'clock.
I've stopped talking about Friday nights. I'm talking about Saturday morning events.
It's about an hour.
Exactly what I thought.
Mine's
4 minutes, and I wouldn't do it.
Well, there you go. Don't be bitching at
can
me.
You see Just Imagine from your house?
No, I actually can't. I mean, I could probably get up on my roof and yell. But no,
I want to sign up for Magic.
How
do you think they're
going to
do it for GP Crest?
It's on the other side of town, but like, I mean, by the other side of town, I mean, that's still like a 4-minute drive. So, whatever.
God, you know, the more I hear about this, I would love to be able to come out and experience this because it sounds like a movie.
I wish you could.
It sounds like, you know what? Okay. This sounds like a theme park ride that, like, this theme park's gone out of business, but, like, there's one guy that's still trying to run it, and he's, like, got three teeth, and he, like, works at a Trona. Like, that's what this experience feels like. Yeah, exactly. And the blue avatar guy that wants to become an avatar, Nefertari, like, that's your sidekick, you know?
Yeah, no, we'll just hit him up and be like, oh, hey, man, you want to work security for this event? Hey, bring your big cardboard cutout or your fucking plywood cutout. Like, you'll see everybody. Like, you paint yourself blue, you bring your big-ass fucking cutout.
Oh, my God. Would he paint himself blue? That, like, I'm 50 sure bucks we give him?
Yeah, I'm sure.
We can take pictures with that shit. Oh, dude, I kind of like, now this is getting exciting, like. I don't know, that kind of stuff.
No, TSG and fucking Marcel are going to have a blast with this thing because it's going to be awkward, but it's going to be fun. Like, they're going to have a blast with the whole thing because, you know, we're going to have fun in Ridgecrest. And, like, they already
texted me again today to confirm plans. Like, we're not fucking around, man.
Yeah, they already know. No. Check this out. We just, like, remember, I was actually going to tweet a picture of this. Just to be an asshole, because remember when I tweeted the picture of, like, the
last
bar?
Last week's picture? Yeah, I remember that.
I know you remember that one. But no, like, the rape dungeon where I was like, oh, TSG's room for fucking, you know, GP Crest. Well, we have the other room, like, originally going to be my little wizard's den, and then turned in, like, oh, we should probably turn this into an office, and I should take over the outdoor, kind of indoor-outdoor room, and... we'll do that, and I'll paint it whatever the fuck color I want to and hang shit on the walls, and then we'll make this other room like our office or something. And then it's basically, for a while, it's become like, oh, we'll just put a bunch of shit in there that we don't want to look at right now. And then over the last, like, week and a half, my wife and her mother have completely transformed this into a nice room. They just painted it. There's a sweet-ass futon in there, but not like the futon you sleep on in college, but like a nice futon. It's got, like, you know, armrests.
They're classing up the joint shit, man.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's legit. What? So I was going to tweet a picture and be like, oh, so this is Marcel's room for GP Crest. As opposed to TSG's fucking, like, cirrhosis couch.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? Okay, so before we get into the...
Oh, my wife is all into this. Like, for GP Crest, like, fucking... Either you guys could... I'd do the smart thing because, I mean, I do have a child. He is a fucking toddler, and he does run around and yell shit ass o'clock early in the morning. You guys could also just get a hotel room that's, like, you know, around the corner from my house. Or you guys are welcome to stay here, and if you stay here, you guys are fucking set because we have a fucking – we have a guest room, and then we have Tristan's room, which is basically my bar.
I can tell he's walking around in each of these rooms.
He is.
Yeah.
He's 100%. Yeah. He's 100%. He's visual. He needs to see it when he speaks to me. Now,
I wasn't even walking around. I was just rocking back and forth in this chair and looking the other way at the rooms that I'm talking about.
All right. Now, before we get to the Twitter hole, I'm going to bring back a segment we haven't done in a while, and that's the shout-outs.
Before you get to a segment... I got a thing that's actually magic relevant. As we're talking about some magic shit, and we're talking about, you know, changes to magic. When I don't got into the finance thing, but hey, we haven't really got to talk too much about this. So, the Mulligan rule. What do you guys think about this? Now that it's real and legit, like, what do you guys think about it?
It is good for limited. I look forward to it being a thing that happens at Friday Night Magic.
I love it. In the Modern Invitational, we were pre-testing with it, and it was amazing. I don't see all this, oh my god, it allows combo decks and hyper-aggressive decks to, like, fire off earlier bullshit. It doesn't. That's a corner case thing at, like, elite levels.
Even at that, if it happens, like, if you do run into that problem where, like, something was unforeseen, it's like, oh shit, this deck is going to be able to fucking take advantage of it and abuse it, that's why the goddamn ban list is there. Like, in Modern, for instance, it's like, oh, well, these combo decks and shit, they're going to be able to... Well, you know, if something gets out of control, they're going to be able to neuter it anyway. I think that the fucking Mulligan rule is sweet. We've been fucking around with it here in the house. Like, you know, hey, let's check it out, see how it works. And it's nice. It's makes for less fucking shitty fucking bad games or just
stupid
games.
I agree. And I've had about 10 games where I've tried it out. I've felt that it's allowed, like you said, Kevy, games to not be bullshit games where you're like, well, I drew one land, I'm fucked. Like, it sometimes gives you that opportunity. I don't find myself mulliganing more aggressively than I did before, but I feel like it rewards me, or it allows me to be like, okay, I'm down six against a really tough deck. I really need to see that card to know what I'm doing. And it makes that decision
for you, whether this is going to be a terrible, like whether you're talking casual or fucking, you know, competitive Magic. It lets you go like, all right, man. Cause I mean, we've done that forever in our fucking, like in the little Daniel and I in our little casual environment too. It's like, oh, let me look at the top card. Yeah, no, go ahead, scoop, but we're going to go to the next game. Cause that shit's not going to work for me, but it just gives you that little extra bit of knowledge. It's not even an advantage. Like gives you that knowledge to be able to say like, hey, do I want to just scoop this game and go to the next one? Or do like, oh, okay, cool. I have a, you know, a bit of an advantage here. The only thing like I could possibly see out of it from our little playtesting with it, the only thing I could possibly see out of it is, you know, your opponents, obviously like in a competitive environment, your opponents give away information and you should take every bit of information you get. I mean, as Magic players, you guys know that in a competitive environment, like if we're sitting around drinking, it's like, whatever. But if you're in a competitive environment, any information that you can legally get from your opponent, whether it be their, you know, if they've got a tell, whether it be like, you know, writing down the information, like when you get to see their hand and writing that shit down, it's all relevant information to your game plan. And the only thing I could see being weird and fucking wonky about this is like, and it's not even weird, it's just like an advantage you may have. If your opponent mulligans and looks depressed and then looks at their top card and their eyes light up, well, now you might have to play your game a little bit different. Like, if you know what you're playing against in a competitive environment and I was going to assume
at that level they can control their reactions. But you are right. Well, those are tells.
Even if it's not a tell, even if like their eyes don't light up, they don't fucking pull a string and confetti comes down. Like if they fucking if they mold a fucking, you know, say your opponent, you know, nowadays like or before the mulligan rule, you know, your opponent mulls to, you know, five and he's like,
oof. Mulling to five is the worst feeling in the world.
And then maybe mulls to four, which is like the worst thing.
You're
in the world.
Dead, man.
Do that. Yeah.
Have you ever won a game when you mull to four?
Yes, I
have. Burn, maybe. Burn, you might be able to pull it up.
Exactly. If I've got a mountain and three lightning bolts, I could give a fuck less. Like, I'm good.
Yeah. And then you scry, and you're like, the fourth lightning bolt. You're like, I got this.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
And then the guy, and then he, and then your opponent's like, crack a fetch, drop a shock land. You're like, all right, I got this.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, do your thing, man. You just do all the damage you can. I will fucking, exactly. And there's going to be things that come out of this mulligan rule that I really think are going to affect the game. I mean, every time they like change a rule like that, it really affects the game. Like the whole damage on the stack thing that like I never had to be a part of. Really, before I like when I started playing Magic,
the legend rule was the last thing that really affected us.
The legend rule, and nobody's given a shit. Everybody just adapted to it.
I'm gonna eat my words on it. I know at the time I said that I didn't like it for Vorthos reasons, which I still don't. But I actually, again, it's done something where it allows games to happen, and it makes a lot of sense because games are funner. So. Good job with that. You obviously know. Yeah, be quiet, you fucker. Okay, now
that is
moving on. Moving on to more funner things. I'm bringing back the shoutout segment, and I have a huge shoutout to Chris Combs. You may know him if you were in Vegas. He is the donut.
I know him because he's the motherfucker I was talking about earlier that shipped me those fucking beta signed bolts. So that's why I don't have promo bolts anymore.
Well, okay, so this show is celebrating this guy. So my daughter's birthday's coming up, and I've been trying to get her like fucking the Exploding Kittens game. For some reason, Amazon doesn't ship to Canada for some fucking stupid reason, so I can't get it anywhere here.
There's an Exploding Kittens game?
How do you not know about Exploding Kittens?
I didn't know anything about Exploding Kittens, other than, like, you're supposed to wrap them in duct tape before you fuck them so they don't blow up.
What? What the fuck? We're not even at the Twitter wall. Did you just say you wrap a kitten before you fuck them? Wow, okay. So anyways, Chris...
Gloss right over it.
I can't even get there. I can't even... You know what? The Twitter hole is like a giant peak in a mountain, and I'm like, I'm not... I haven't crested the top yet, so I can't get down there fast enough, but I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll catch up to it. But huge shout-out to him. He's ordering me one and going to try and ship it up to me. So huge shout-out to you, my friend. Again, it's...
Hey, I bet you I could do this faster. I'm going to order you a roll of duct tape and I'm going to fucking ship it to you.
I wonder if that's an actual card. You got to, before you fuck your pussy, you got to wrap in duct tape. But huge shout out to him because he is awesome. And
huge shout out to that guy.
Yeah, huge shout out. And a huge shout out to our boy, Raging Gumby. You probably haven't heard him on the cast today and you're like, where the
you
fuck is David?
Yeah, be a little bit weird. I had heard him on the cast like, today.
Y'all fucked up on mushrooms if you're hearing Gumby just commentating on this shit.
They just, or it'd be funny because...
You're actually him himself, just hearing it in your own head while he's listening to it.
It's funny because we're like 2 hours in and I bet people are like, hold on, they haven't even addressed that David's not here. What happened to him, man? He's taking a break this week, but we're wishing him well and... Yep, hopefully he'll be back soon.
We kind of sold him into this, like, fighting ring thing that we got into. It's like online betting, except for, like, you know, you can supply your own fighter. And,
here's the truth.
He's in Thailand, and we're hoping that he comes back,
Here's the truth, guys. I know we make a lot of jokes about it, but... those dragon tokens were really expensive, and we have way too many. So he's trying to make it up to us, and he's entered the Thailand Fighting League.
We got the tokens made in Thailand. They're just like, you know what? Check it out.
You owe us money.
You guys still owe us money, so let's ship something over here if you guys don't have the money. And to be honest with you, if any one of the three of us were to like get shipped to Thailand to pay a debt, we'd be fucked. Like
our buttholes would never feel the same.
We pretty much figured the only way we're getting out of this is to send David. He's probably gonna come back with like half of Thailand in his teeth. Like he's gonna fucking handle it.
He's gonna come back with like a ring of ears or something.
Yeah.
Tokens to handle, boys.
I'd be a whole different guy when he gets back. To be honest with you, like I don't know if you're gonna expect him back the same Raging Gumby that was on here before. He's gonna be more like, I don't know. Maybe he'll be some sort of monk. Maybe he'll just be this raging monk. Yeah, he'll just be some raging monk.
Oh my god! Now, in the spirit and jest
everybody's a fucking, like, while we're there, like, everybody send your love to David, because, you know, he's kind of new here, right? We're not going to go deep 100%. On it, but David needs your love. Gumby needs your love. Fucking send it to him. And I don't mean fucking send semen in an envelope. That's not sending him your love.
That doesn't work. Yeah, the post, that doesn't work. The post office does not allow that.
I live in Ridgecrest, and I already got yelled at for that. Like, just don't do it. It's a bad idea. The postman gets mad. The authorities get mad. David gets mad. Like
David gets real mad when he opens those.
Sir, this letter appears to be moist.
Yeah. Do not end on the envelope. I write, it's moist. It's okay. Keep it through the mail system.
Did you know this? Because I like putting in urban facts that I find in my travels. Did you know that envelopes used to be sealed with dog semen? That the stickiness on the little part where you lick, that was dog semen.
That's why I used to love licking envelopes. I'm not into it anymore. Like, I'd like the glue tastes different. I don't like it.
The glue did taste good back then. I don't know. I don't know what kind of dogs were doing it, but it was like a canine-y taste. But that's true. Go look that up. I'm sure in other countries it's not dogs.
Now I just like to stay clean. Now I just take the little tab that you pull off. That says like,
yeah, they don't give you dog semen sealant anymore.
I pull that tab off, and then I Elmer's glue just to make sure.
I know, like, why do I gotta Elmer's glue my envelope? Just fucking give me the old dog semen back. It used to work.
Say, hey, all right. Just tear off the fucking tab and then put Elmer's glue on it.
This is, look, now this is like handy advice from Heavy Meta, but it is that time, folks. We are, I mean, it seems like every time is this time, but this time is the Twitter hole time. It looks especially stanky tonight. We're going to dive right in because, fuck, there's only one way in, man. You can't avoid splashing this shit on you. Jack LaCroix. Oh my God, Jack. Haven't heard from him in a while. Huge news.
You need to get that motherfucker on the cast one of these days.
I know. Oh man, it's been too long. We, you know what? A lot of, okay, I'll just say this. I know a lot of you keep asking us, when are we going to get guests? Cause you're sick of TSG and Raging Gumby. Well, look, we've taken care of, we've taken care of Gumby already. We're going to take TSG next.
We sent him to Thailand and fucking, and TSG, it's just a matter of time.
Who do you think's going to get him? TSG, you short straw, buddy. Get on the plane.
Just understand that every time he makes a valid point on this cast, that's a point against him. But while Maddie and I are yelling shit that doesn't make sense, every time TSG makes a valid point, we're just all right, you gotta go.
We record that. It adds up. It affects our rating. But Jack has a question. He says, we are trapped in a room with zero chance for survival. Who is the first to take a piss in the corner?
Me?
Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely Kevy.
Yeah, definitely me. I've pissed in a glass elevator on the Vegas Strip.
Didn't have as an example, but okay.
I mean, I assume that...
By more than once, I mean like more than once in the same night. It wasn't like I went back and decided to revisit Old Glory. Like, we were like, hey, fuck it, we already did it once. So
in the same elevator? Like, you kept going back just to keep marking your territory?
I don't know how well you know the Vegas Strip, but they're the like the little fucking skywalk things that go across.
Oh yes,
you know, like they go across the strip. They're like, you know, you take an escalator up and then you walk across the strip up above the strip, and you can see the cars. Now I've also mashed my junk into the chain link fence that lets you not fall off of those into oncoming traffic. But that's a different story. There's the little elevators because you know they're handicap accessible, like, you know, you got to be able to have an elevator and an escalator in the same spot. Now, what we didn't realize was that, like, those escalators, when we walked into them, those elevators, when we walked into them, we're like, all got to pee, not going to make it into a casino, let's pop in this elevator. My whole vibe on this was like, bums have to pee in these all the time, so we should be all right if we pee in them. But when I'm looking straight ahead of me while it's on the ground, and thinking, this is not like, you know, this is a wall. I mean, I know there's glass there, but I mean, whatever. Fuck it. Like, I can't see anybody looking at me. We're fine. As soon as they start to go up, now you're in a glass elevator and you're peeing for the strip that's looking at you. And after we did it the first time, we're like, oh, well, we already did it. We might as well keep doing it. Yeah. So those turned into our porta potties for the Vegas Strip. Wow. That
you weren't there, Kevy, but me and TSG were treated to an excellent what was it, a walkabout of Vegas with Josh. It was very surprising. He in fact did point out that you do not ride in the elevators because of that very fact. Yeah, exactly, that you are the reason you do not go in that elevator. It did smell.
I was probably asleep during your tour, but I was also a part of your tour.
You were the reason. I'm moving on. We're gonna move up the Twitter hole here. Brian, Mocking Sage, Inky Scholar asks us, have you ever regretted a draft pick?
Yes. I really hope that is a deep, deep inside joke. That's like a 0.001%er.
That is fucking legit.
Why? What am I missing here?
Really?
How deep does this hole go?
The draft pick that I think I regret the most was, let's see, Jay Bush punching fucking Slick Jagger in the nuts. That's the draft pick that I... That's the
Am
one
I missing
I regret.
Something? He's not saying draft pick is in a card you're picking?
No. What I find funny, and again, this is a very small chance anyone's going to remember this. So do you guys remember Rob Martin?
No.
Okay. No. Well, that's fine. You probably shouldn't. There was a short time where he was doing an interview series called like The Men of Magic, where he was trying to talk to people about, I got hooked up with this guy through like,
oh my God, yes, I do remember this now, yes.
And he was such a doofus, like, kind of a lovable doofus, but just like a...
He just totally insults the guy, nice.
He's just... He's a doofus, okay? I can't put it anywhere. Uh-huh. Like, so he interviews Brad Nelson like right after he wins Player of the Year and asks him just the dumbest questions ever. And in his serious interview with Brad about the best year of Magic he's ever played in his life and will ever play, you know, he goes with the hard-hitting questions like, Brad, have you ever regretted a draft pick? And
Was Brad's answer? I'm curious.
Well, what do you think it was going to be?
Of course, you regret almost every draft pick you make. That's the worst. All right, so, Brian.
He was the butt of saying that.
Mine came in because fucking the A-Team has been fucking asking this question since I've started listening to him. So I had to throw an A-Team reference in, and the best I could come up with was Jay punching Slick Jagger in the nuts. I regretted that pick. God damn it. Like, that was kind of my fault.
See, I thought this was like you're at a draft and you take a pitcher and you regret that pick.
Ah, that's surprisingly right. Clever, but no.
See? Okay, you know what? This question has legs and they are short and stumpy and made of lead. We are moving on. We are moving on. Oh man, Jim's got like some fucking weird ones. Alright, I'm gonna go for one of these. Apparently we wake up. Apparently, we're not gonna get into this of Tom. Okay, we're going to assume when you guys write Tom, it's tomorrow. But apparently we wake up and you are now a two-headed giant. Which other cast member would you most want and least want to be your other head?
Easily don't want Kevy attached to me. I don't want to pee that much. I don't want to show the my volume. Dick that much. I don't want to,
I think that's a huge misplay on your part. You would live life to the fullest. You wouldn't be much in control.
Oh, that's true.
But you would live life to the fullest. You'd have a blast. You'd get to walk a mile in our shoes.
Dude, do you realize that he could be going down on a girl and you could be giving her a rim job at the same time? Like, you're not going to, like, you know, you put David's head on that, you're going to be grappling a guy.
Even if you didn't want to get down like that. Like, I could be doing what I'm doing and you could just be, you know, giving comments. You could be fucking filming it. Like,
he could be placing bets on it.
So now it's like a money-making venture.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of like that.
You'd be placing bets.
Also, I think it works well for Kevy because then he gets a good manager. Like, you could actually manage him as a proper rock star because you are, like, both halves of the coin.
Yeah, and so you'd actually be able to, like, you know, all those times, like, I interrupt you or I go run off and do dumb shit that I'm not supposed to.
Yeah, imagine us trying to talk with two heads. It would be insane.
Yeah, oh, my God. I want to see this.
I feel like our necks would be fucking it would spread our necks apart enough that we could have two separate conversations with people where I could be like, oh, let's go to the fucking bar! And you could be like, oh, yeah, and Cube and stuff. And then, of course, we're going to have an argument. But at that point, like, we're going to turn face to face with our necks and, like, be looking at each other and be like, oh, listen, TSG, we're going to go over here. And you're like, no, Kevin, we're going to go over here. And then that's going to be the best part of the whole goddamn thing. Maddie's going to film that while we try to run away from each other.
I mean, it does not specify the length of neck, so you could make a bizarre creature. I'm not sure.
This could be fun. But, like, he's, you know, I think he's going to stick with his story. Like, if he's going to be two-headed giant with anybody or on the cast, it's not going to be me.
Yeah, I don't know. If it was me, it's a hard one. I mean, I'm down for, like, some fun times with Kevy. It would be good. But the volume level of the screeching, I think, would get to me over times. I think that would be good. Although, you know, I'm not thinking that. He'd probably just get drunk and pass out.
Motherfuckers have said me.
I don't know. The thing is, you got to...
It still comes down to the length of the neck. Like, if I get drunk and pass out, like, if our heads are real close together... Then, like, I can pass out. You can walk around and do your own thing, and I'm just asleep. If our heads are long enough that my head's gonna hit the ground, you're gonna have to drag me around for the rest of the night, or find a way to like tie my head to you so that I could sleep through it. And it still comes down to the length of the neck, I think.
Yeah, you know what? The length of the neck is actually more important than the length of our wieners.
Yeah.
It is, right? See, now I'm starting to think about this.
My answer to this, like, if who am I not going to have as my two-headed fucking giant? Like,
who do you want and who do you not want?
Who do I want and not want? Oh, yeah. That's different.
It's exactly the same. You just tell me the one you want, and then it's obvious who you don't want.
No, I'm David. David's in this cast. I'm going to say, like, the one I don't want is David. And the reason I say I don't want David as my second head is because I can send David out as a fucking scout. I can fucking let him wreck shit in front of me. I can fucking put David on my fucking, like, on the back of my neck. Because, I mean, we're like a fucking two-headed giant. Like, I can put David on the back of my neck like his token with a fucking sword in his hand. And, like, we could walk around and just wreck shit all over. And then, like, I mean, as far as I could take either of you. I could hang out with either one of you as my second head all night. I could sit around. Me and Maddie could talk shit about everything that is around us. Me and CSG could talk fucking magic all night. And he could be like, oh, no, Kevin, goddammit, that's... Shut the fuck up. That's a terrible idea. I'm like, wait. I got a better idea. And then I give him another bad idea. Like, I could hang out with either one of you guys all night.
Here's a question.
So I'd much rather have him not be my second head.
I have relevant information to this. We'd have to get Helen on this. But because I have two heads, do I still register under a single DCI number? Because if I do, I think, Kevin, you have a real chance. You stick TSG on there, you would have a chance, like, top eight.
Oh, dude, that's actually very true. Right? I feel like you probably can, like, you're not playing two decks. You don't have enough hands to play two decks. So
you can play two-headed giant by yourself. Oh, that's horrible.
Nah, I don't know, because you'd still have to, like, you'd still have to use your two hands or whatever limbs are.
That's true.
You know, so you're only going to get to play, like, I think that's a fucking, I think they'd probably ban you real quick. Like, they'd be like, oh, wait a second, we can't do that. We can't let two brains work the same deck at the same time. That's outside information. And you'd be like, no, it's not outside information. Like, this is all still inside my body. We share a colon. Like, if you want to call this outside information, you're going to have to sift through our shit.
Here's the other thing. Like, so I don't know, because I don't know very many, like, two-headed, like, you know, Asian births that, like, you know, whatever they call those damn things when, like, they have two things. But who...
conjoined twins?
Conjoined twins, that was it. It was that famous one from the 80s. Okay. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. So who controls which hand? And is it awkward?
No,
but isn't that awkward? Because maybe you could control both, right? Like, if Kevy falls asleep, then I get control of both hands? Is that one hand like a fucking sleeping hand? I don't know.
There's a very good, very introspective, I'll call it a documentary, but it's really just Tom Segura's stand-up comedy that you can look up on this exact subject.
Is this real?
Tom Segura's,
we didn't do our research.
If you look up Tom Segura, like, one of the, like, funniest bits that motherfucker has ever done is about, like, seeing these two-headed, like, this woman that's a two-headed woman, like a conjoined twin, like she's got two heads, one body, and it goes, like, real deep introspective into, like, you know, what she does when she's given a blowjob. Like, you've got to have, you know, you got to have people that you don't like that the other person does. It's like, oh, well, we're going to Tony's house. I fucking hate Tony. Well, I'm going to blow him, so you apologize. Like, and Then he goes into, like, hey, let's, you know, if you're not on board with two fucking headed blowjobs, that's fine. I get that. You people are fucking crazy, but I get that. But, you know, maybe the two headed girl has to take a shit. You got to watch it to see if the faces match up. Like, one of them's like, ah! The other one's like, hey, take it easy. It's my ass too, you know. Like, you have to, like, there's a very introspective.
Oh, my God. See, now you're, like, evolving a whole thing of, like, you and TSG on a toilet. I'm like, oh, my God. Somebody's diddling. Someone isn't. What's going on?
hey, when you talk about somebody with two heads and then the rest of the body is the same, like, shit gets weird. You got two brains and one body. Like, we could wreck shop. You're absolutely right. Tiesha and I could wreck shop playing Magic together. Like, well, I'm pretty sure, like, this is what it would come down to. If we're going to, like, play Magic together at any given tournament, and the two of us are together, I'm going to just go to sleep and let him take over the limbs and the brain. And then at some point, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to start yelling. It may give us a slight advantage because, I mean, obviously, it's going to look awkward.
Why are you yelling at me? I'm not. I'm trying to play Magic.
No! Hey, where's my drink at, motherfucker? And Tristan's going to try to calm me down, just like he does on the cast. He's just like, oh, hey, man, oh, fuck, shut up. And then I'm going to yell a lot, but then I'm probably going to fall back asleep again, and he's going to be able to be like, oh, all right, fine. We, you know, that took
my
10
turn.
Minutes.
Let's go.
Yeah.
extra turns? Oh, we're in extra turns. Great. Oh my God! I don't know. TSG, are you even answering this one?
I mean, I despite 20 minutes of Kevin trying to convince me I want to be attached to him, which was surprising. I'm staying with my original answer. I don't know. Maddie's life seems like a lot of work. I don't really think I want to be attached to that shit all day. See, I think if I was attached to David, I'd work out more. I'd get out more. I'd definitely be tanner. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, yeah, into the biking and such. Yeah, I'm in for that.
All right, I like it. I like it. I think I would also choose David just because of the extra grappling ability I would have. I would always feel cocky as shit. Because I'd be like, what, you talking to me? Grapple this bitch. So, I'm sorry, Kevin, you made it sound exciting, but it's just not working this time. I don't know why. But, he's got to reset his modem again. No!
Did I miss that? I didn't
see
that.
Sorry, I had to pee.
Yeah, he's resetting his modem right there.
No, I'm back. I
resetting my modem.
Heavy modem reset.
As I was listening to what you guys were saying, like, was it the question, which one do you not want to have?
No, it was both. It was, do you want to be attached to, who do you not want to be attached to?
I think we all answered who we'd least want.
Yeah, me. Like, none of you guys want to be attached to me.
I think it sounds exciting, but we're scared.
I think that's fine. Like, I was upset about that. I was like, which one do you guys not want to be attached to? But I realized that, like, all of you, I mean, even David, and he's not here. I was like, no, I don't want to be attached to that guy. If I'm a two-headed giant, the last thing I want to do is be attached to Kevy.
All right, well, moving on. I'm not sure we want to even attempt to tackle the you wake up and now you're a four-headed hydra. Which limb does each person control? Because that sounds like
a
large tangent.
That's where I thought this question was going, and I realized that there was two different questions. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna have to like veto that because there's too many. We've already been down the limb question. Right,
I kind of answered it on Twitter. Like, as far as that question goes, I'm controlling the fucking front tail, and then you guys can control whatever the fuck else you want to. I'm calling dibs on the
damn it, Jim, for fuck's sakes, but I gotta ask this because I'm curious. So a four-headed hydra, if someone cuts off our head, we're gonna get five heads, right?
Yeah. Right? So Marcel,
no. What happens if someone cuts off our dick?
Then we get two dicks, man.
You're a hydra. It's gonna grow back. Do you see what I'm saying? So we could, if we wanted to, theoretically, just keep chopping our own dick off until we had like 1,000 dicks.
I don't know. I want to address this fucking problem that's never been addressed in fucking mythology. Like, everybody talks about like cutting off the heads of the hydra and it just grows one back, and nobody's just tried to cut its feet off. Like, nobody's tried to just cut its legs off and call it a day. Like, oh, yeah, all right, you're a hydra, you seem pissed off. Every time I cut a head off, you keep growing another one. But if you just cut off its legs, then, like, it's probably not going to go anywhere. Like,
or you it's just going to get too many legs.
Throw him in an ocean and call him Bob. Well, no, see, nobody's addressed that problem. We don't know if, like, he just keeps growing limbs back, like, you know.
Or does it only work on its head? I don't know.
throughout time, and hey, heavy metal listeners, correct me. Throughout time, anytime there's been a Hydra in mythology, like, have they ever tried just cutting his legs off instead of heads? Like,
see,
you know,
we need.
Oh man, these things keep growing back. Let's try cutting off a leg, or cutting off a penis, or cutting off, you know, something.
In the middle of a battle, you're like, I just, where's his dick?
Instead, well, no, like, serious, like, instead of, like, trying to, like, okay, fuck, now I gotta cut off fucking foreheads so that there's only eight left. Like, why don't you just cut him in half? And then now, yeah, just cut him in half at the spine, and it's just all, oh, shit, now I don't know what to do. He might grow a back half. I mean, that's fine. Like, now you know what you're up against. But if you cut him in half, he's like, oh, shit, all I've got is the ability to grow heads, and now I've got two front legs and no back legs. I'm fucked. Like, I'm just going to fucking run around in circles. Well, he's not going to run around in circles yet. Like, once you figure out that the back half doesn't grow, then you cut off one leg. You let that eight-headed son of a bitch run in circles all day long, and then you just go around him, and you're good.
I think this is another thing that I, you know, I have a very big problem with magic in that, like, why wasn't that question answered in Theros? Like, that was the perfect block to answer that question, so.
Well, that was a perfect question to be answered. Yeah. That would have been a perfect question to be answered over the last, like, I don't know, 8,000 years in mythology.
That's true. That's very true. He has a one last great follow-up question, which is, what type of mana would the land that your house apartment resides on tap for? That's a good one.
That is a good question.
All right, I like that. Now, where I live, it's right by the lake, so I would assume I'm going to tap for probably blue or green. I think those are the two strongest sources of mana. It might be a hybrid. I could see these. Well, it's not really a tropical island. Maybe I'm mostly green then.
So you're like you're a snow-covered green?
A snow-covered forest. There you go. It is Oakville. There's oak trees everywhere. Done.
Making snow mana. Yeah, that seems pretty obvious. I'm gonna go with.
Is this basic land or?
Well, just what color of mana does your
well,
land
it says which type.
It's definitely gotta go fucking plains. I would say like desert, which is terrible, but like that's you know obviously
it taps for sand.
Yeah. I'd have to just say plains because you know. Well, I don't know. There's mountains right over there, but I don't live in the mountains.
Well, then it does not count. TSG?
Red mana for sure where I'm at.
Oh, that's true with all the earthquakes? all right, so here's... Oh, man. Area. At area? Area? Aria? Aria? How do you spell area? Aria. I'm going to guess that is area. Cool Twitter handle. He says, or she says, I don't know, because you have this weird, like, Lego... I don't even know. What is that fucking thing? Purple-headed, like, thing?
I don't even know what your avatar is.
I'm just looking at the avatar. He says you have 280 points divided between your height in centimeters, for you Americans, and your IQ.
Fuck.
What split do you... I know, this is going to be extra good, because you don't even know what that means.
I got 280 centimeters.
Yes. No, you got two... Yeah, you're just going to go to zero IQ. Okay, so we have 280 points to divide between our IQ and our height. Now, what do we do? I'm going to say that... Okay, this is a feel... philosophical question of, do you want to be a midget but really smart, or do you want to be tall and really stupid?
Yeah, how many points?
I gotta know where the line is. Like, this really matters.
Five feet is like 150 centimeters, roughly.
No, it's 30. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So 30 centimeters in a foot. So that's like 10 feet almost. That's like just under 10 feet of height. So. I mean, I could be 5 feet. I don't think I could be below 5 feet.
So you're like you got stupid. Like if you're zero centimeters, you're 280 IQ. We got 280 points to split, right? So if you're 0 centimeters, you're 280 IQ. And if you're zero IQ, how many feet in inches is that?
That's like 9.5. So you're pretty tall. I mean, you could play basketball and be stupid. I don't know. That could work.
Yeah, I think I'm going to like. I mean, you have to have like some sort of IQ. Like, you can't have zero.
What is the average IQ? Do we even know that? That's like what 100? Is 100 an average IQ?
I don't know.
Right. Actually, it could be less because I think like to get into Mensa, you got to be like, what, 130?
Yeah, but it kind of scale. It's like a sliding scale.
Oh, is it? So I could say like 100 and that would be like a mollusk?
And like, yeah, like to be able to get from 100 to 130 is pretty difficult, I believe.
Shit, this is a difficult question. I really don't want to be below 5 feet, but I don't want to be stupid, so... You know what? Fuck it. Give me a hundred and frickin' seventy, okay. And I'll be like 4 feet.
Psychologists would say that those scoring in a range of 95 to 105 are of normal intelligence.
Oh wow! Look at this. Somebody's using Google and shit. That makes it too easy then.
You could be 5 foot even and have an IQ of about 130, which is way like above Mensa? Average.
Yeah. Above average, yeah.
And we're really putting a lot of stock in that, like, that height between 5 and 6 foot. I tell you what, you move to Southern California, you're 4 foot and change, you date some nice short Mexican chicks, smartest guy in the area. That's my plan.
That's true, yeah, no, and you can become rich.
I'm definitely on board with you. Like, the split's got to be, like, a fucking 30-70 fucking...
Yeah, like, I'm down to go to, like, 4 foot eight or something.
Yeah, no, I would enjoy being short. Like I'm kind of tall. Like I guess at a disadvantage. Like if I could be a lot smarter and just lose inches, like, I'd be fine with it.
I'm smart enough to get a better seat at sporting events, so I can see over people, or I don't need to. That is what I'm getting at.
I feel like I'm gonna upset many with this, but I'd go like fucking midget status to be a fucking genius.
See, that's I don't know, man. Maybe yeah. That's better for the world. I don't know. Do I want a tall, stupid Kevy or a short, midget, genius Kevy? I'd probably go genius Kevy, right? Even though
do we get to keep any of our attributes? Like I'm kind of tall, and I'm also kind of a fucking idiot savant. So
no, well, I don't know. Maybe you're just a more improved Kevy.
Like maybe if we go from where I'm at now, like I'm taller than. Some people, I'm not taller than a lot of people, but I'm taller. I'm 6 foot, and I'm borderline retarded, but then sometimes I have these genius moments. If I could increase the frequency of these genius moments and lose a couple inches, I'd be all about it. I don't know.
I think we've overthought this question into, like, midget genius level territory this point.
That's what we do! I feel like we broke the format. If you could be fucking 3 foot tall and be a goddamn genius, like, it wouldn't matter. Like, I mean, could put your fucking...
Okay, I have only one question.
Fuck you want.
Once I get beyond, like, 200 IQ, does my brain get powerful enough where I start exhibiting actual powers? Because then 100%.
You just want to be MODOK or something? Like, well, yeah. What's your goal?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, are you kidding? To control people's brains? Sure, make me a foot tall. What do I give a shit? I'll just make a giant fucking robot body to stand it.
You know what? I'll just give an extra couple inches to make sure I'm the smartest person in the world in the Guinness Book of World Records and then call it a day.
And then call it a day. All right, I'm moving on. We got Justin Waterfield, Lunchbox 601 says, you have the power to exercise one of these spirits. Proxy's Eeyore, Marcel Salt, or Kevy's Dick Demon. Who do you exercise? Dude, off the bat, I don't want to exercise any one of these. Although Kevy's Dick Demon is becoming a very bad menace on Twitter at later nights. Marcel Salt is humorous and enjoyable. But I'm probably getting rid of the Dick Demon because that thing is haunting me.
You have the ability to exercise it. Like you can do it whenever you want to.
That's exercise true. Kevy's dick. That's a good plan.
Exorcise, not exercise. It's a good thing someone chose the correct word there. I don't want to exercise Kevy's Dick Demon. For Christ's sakes, man, just do another push-up. Come on. I can't. I fucking can't. Look at my dick. I don't even know what that is. He's like doing pec flies and... getting all wrecked. Anyway, this is horrible. Why are we on this question? This is fucking weird.
This is horrible.
This question is like, come on, it's an obvious thing. You don't... Proxy's Eeyore is not a demon. Or even a... Well, it could be a spirit. You leave that one alone. Marcel Salt is... You know, you gotta watch your salt intake, but it's good when you get it. I don't see a positive. There's no positive to the Dick Demon. It's gotta go. Am I wrong?
You have to exercise the dick, fucking the demon dick.
There you go, man. It's got to stay in shape. Can't let the thing get all flaccid and floppy. Gotta keep the thing hard, right? Oh my god.
All right,
I'm moving off of this one because I didn't even want to hear your answers. Pit Scorpion's got a good one. He's like, you get full control of MTGO development, infinite funds, and a seven-figure salary if you have one testicle removed. Do you do it? No.
I don't care that much about MTGO.
Yeah, no way. My balls are way too important. I don't give a fuck.
Oh no, was it? Did you say six-figure or seven-figure?
Seven figures.
Seven figure, absolutely I do it. I'll get one of my testicles removed. It'll probably be the big one. I don't even give a shit. I'll put it in a trophy case. I will take over MGGO development. I'll take a seven figure salary, and I will probably tell all you Magic players to fucking suck it. I'll be like, oh, hey, if you want to play Magic, play in the fucking real world. Buy paper cards. And then, like, I'll do some weird shit here and there. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not a complete fucking animal. Like, I'll do some weird shit here and there. Be like, oh, hey, it's fucking, I don't know, Vintage fucking Wednesday, and we're just giving away fucking power.
Like, it sounds like you're going to make this a disaster.
Yeah, blast with this thing, because if you're going to give me a seven-figure salary and I had to lose my testicle for it, like, I'm going to be, like, the worst Twitter account ever. Like, everybody's going to be like, cool. Oh, Kevin Metal, you fucking took away fucking, you know, you took away leagues or you took away them. Like, yeah, I lost my testicle. Here, have a mox. Fuck it. I don't give a shit. Like, I'll be like, oh, I get seven figures. Like, I will take pictures. Like, I'll take Twitter pictures of my dick laying on my pay stubs and then post them on Twitter. And then I'll be like, oh, look at what Wizards is doing to you guys. And they'll here, you know what? I'm here for you guys and I care. So, here's all the cards. You know what? I do, like, we'll do fucking, like, crazy Vintage Wednesdays, and then we'll do, like, fucking all the card Thursdays. And then, like, on Thursday, I'll just give one random person, one random moto fucking customer, be like, here's all the cards that have ever been printed. A playset. Boom. Get it. And then I'll send it with a picture of my dick and my pay stub and be over it.
You know what I love? I love that you questioned, is it six figures or seven? Because if it was six, you're like, I'm not in. But seven?
If it was six, well, no, like, basically the big question was if it was six, I probably wouldn't keep posting pictures of my dick. Like, I would do all the right. Same thing at six figures, but I wouldn't keep posting pictures of my cock, like, involved with the company. Like, at seven figures, I feel like I could pay whatever lawyer fees I needed to and just get out of whatever trouble I had to. Because somebody's going to get pissed. They're going to be like, oh, this is sexist. They just give this kind of money to men, obviously, because he's got a penis and this many dollar signs on his fucking, or this many commas on his fucking pay statement. But if it's six figures, I might have to watch my ass.
That's true.
And then I'll still only do the same shit I was talking about, except for every once in a while I'll post a picture from a different Twitter account of my penis.
TSG, do you go to one ball or you don't? He doesn't give a shit. What
no,
am I talking
I,
about?
I don't care enough about
MTGO in general.
No, that's,
you
that's,
don't care that's, enough about MTGO. If you could have the absolute control over, I guess what really comes down to is, like, would you give up a testicle for a seven figure income? Like, I mean, fuck Moto. Like, fuck Magic. Like, would you give up a testicle for a seven-figure income?
At this stage of my life, I cannot. No.
No, I can't. Maybe if I was younger. I don't know.
By this stage of your life, do you mean you might need that for, like, you know, making babies and stuff? Like,
if you ask me, it's hope not, but I'm not in control of that situation entirely.
Wait, you... So, no. Okay, wait. I just stopped. Just stop. Everyone stop. Someone just
that
said
he's going to keep one testicle. Like, now, it'd have been a whole different story if they said, hey, take both of them off. Like, let's just
that changes everything.
I mean, now, granted, I only have, you know, I only have so much. But, so much. But, like, hey, like, I've already got one and a half children. Even if you didn't have any children and you wanted to have one, like, you could get one clipped. I mean, it's not going to be a pleasant situation. I'll tell you that. But if you get one clipped, you could still have kids. You could still, I mean, shit, with a seven-figure income, you could put a like, literally, you could put a fucking diamond in the other one, like a huge diamond in the other one, and, like, and all it would be, like, it, when you get
you
to that
grill
kind of money,
out
you're
your
like,
ball sack.
You'd be like, oh, check this out.
Iced
like,
out grill for your balls. That's
like at parties
good.
And shit. People be like, oh, you got out your balls. That looks weird. You're like, no, feel this one. There are fucking 30 sides to this one.
I mean, like, how cool would it be to just put a D20 in there? You know, like, that's pretty, that's gangster right there.
If I'm going to lose a testicle, it needs to be made out of diamonds.
And it's got to like, be in the shape of a D20.
We're not talking one of those fucking cracking D20s. Like, I don't want shit poking out of my ball sack if I roll over in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah, that thing looks scary, dude. I would not want that inside my sack. All right, I'm going to move on because this question is getting, like, really wrinkly.
We're not done with fucking TSG's answer. Like, are you sure that for a seven-figure income, Magic Online aside, for a seven-figure income, you wouldn't get rid of a testicle?
I gotta stay by it.
No, he's not doing it, man. He wants his humanity whole. You know what? I don't. One testicle at this point, maybe.
No,
I need my juice though.
I'm pretty sure it was just one. Like,
it is one. It is one. But you know what sucks? Like, what if you give him the bad one or the good one?
Not only it doesn't fucking matter, man.
Yeah, then you got a bad one. I don't want a fucking flat tire.
Oh no. Oh no. You have children, man. You're the one that should probably be up
That's
for this.
True.
Because
That's true. Because
not only do you get a seven-figure income guaranteed for losing a testicle.
U.S. dollars, I'd imagine.
Oh yeah, U.S. dollars? Also, okay. But, I don't want to be paid no Maple Bucks.
You also get control over fucking Moto, which is something the TSG doesn't give a fuck about, but you could actually make good.
That's true.
That's super bonus.
It sounds now, like it's a now, lot of work. I'm not sure if I'm down.
It's a simple procedure, I think.
It's called they take a high heel and they just smash it really quickly in part of your sack. That's how they put a little slit in the side and you just squeeze it like jam out of it.
You're lucky nobody has come up to you at a fucking bar and just kicked you in the nuts and you lost one. And you
see?
Didn't income.
That's not cool.
I want to know what the fucking the general male public thinks about this. I mean, I don't mean to be sexist.
Hey,
but
don't
like,
be sexist, man. Don't be sexist.
Answer this. I want to know what our fucking fans think. Like, you get a seven-figure income and you get control over Moto, which is like a bonus thing. Would you give up a testicle? Answer that shit on the fucking Facebook page.
There you
Somebody's
go.
Somebody's gonna have to ask a fucking question on the Facebook.
Oh
page.
My god! All right, so I don't even want to be the guy who control that Facebook. Okay, so Rico Travels got a good one. Actually, this is a really interesting question. We could go deep, but let's not try not to go too deep on it because it's actually a good.
That's good. Yeah, I'm gonna go deep on
it. No, don't save it for the other questions. This one is a light one because you could do an entire show on this one. He says, how would Magic be different if the standard format had Hearthstone rules, 30 card decks, only two of each card, and one mythic? He says ban or unban, but then he also follows it up by saying, I think it would make it a lot more accessible in terms of time and money. Instantly, the mythics would depreciate and feel more powerful. That's really really cool. I don't know though. I think I would love to try this format out for sure.
Maddie, because I'm obviously drunk. Maddie, give me a quick breakdown again of the basics of what he's suggesting. Like,
he's basically saying, so what if Standard's new format was Hearthstone rules? So 30 card decks, maximum of two of each card, and one mythic.
Right. Okay.
So I think that would be really cool. Like, it sounds to me like that would open up more deck building possibilities. Actually, maybe not. That's like 30 cards. First of all, if you went this route, you got to ban all mill cards because 30 cards is nothing. Like mill would just be the instant strategy. So that changes.
Well, you don't have to ban shit because you're talking standard. Like he said, standard, right?
Yeah, but 30 card standard with mill decks, the game's done. How do you beat mill?
Well, no, like. No, all you have to do is, like, wait out fucking the... Like, if you were to institute this right now, all you gotta do is wait out any mill cards that might be there and then just not print mill cards that are...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I get that. Definitely.
I do. But, you know what? I have to say this format, because I don't think you want to change standard. I think 30 cards is probably too small. But how amazing would like 5 rounds of the Pro Tour be if you gave them through this like special bonus format in? You know, like let's say the top 7 get into top 8 and what they and then I don't know the next 16 play this format 3 rounds to determine who gets the last spot in top 8. Like something really cool on the side, maybe for player of the year or something like that. This is a really interesting format.
I like the idea. To be honest with you, I like the idea that a lot. Because I feel like it's the same thing that would happen. Like, of course, it could be broken if you're given like the cards that are standard right now. Of course. But if this in mind, if Wizards were to incorporate that, you know, things might change with the cards they release. But I feel like it's just like any other adjustment to the format, like we were talking about earlier. You know, with the Mulligan rule or Power on the Stack or the Legend rule, like, we as Magic players all adapt to that. And, like, the community adapts to shit. Like, if you're given, a rule change, and even if it was something as drastic as that, like, of course it would have to be tested and see, like, you know, okay, well, this is just going to be stupid. This wouldn't be any fun for anybody, so we're not going to do that. It might happen. But at the same time, like it's a rule change that restricts the way that you build your decks, just like Block does, you know, stuff like that. Like I think it could be fun. I mean, shit, this might be a like fun
I
little.
I actually do too. I'm wondering
30
if card we could
format, like just like play Hearthstone rules. Like you get a 30 card deck, you get fucking, you know, one mythic and
go. And like, we don't play with mana. Right?
Yeah.
You just play like you get an extra mana of any color every turn. Has somebody done this? This is actually really cool. Somebody must have done this.
Like, you might be able to have some fun with it. Or even if you have to play with colored mana, then it's going to be a bunch of monocolored decks, but it would spice the fucking shit up. It couldn't be worse than Tiny Leaders. Like, let's be honest. it couldn't be worse of a format than Tiny Leaders. Like, it's going to, you know,
let's ask TSG. I want to hear what TSG says, because he's going to...
I want to hear his opinion.
Yeah, he's going to smash us, or he's going to say this is interesting.
Now, initially, I was like, oh, you know, smaller formats, different Mulligan rules, it would lead to more combo. But considering in Standard right now, there isn't a lot of opportunity for 2-card explosive combos, especially in a 30-card environment, which is going to be faster. I actually think you'd see a lot more aggressive decks, because with a 2-card limit,
that's where it kills mythics, combo.
Yeah, I think you can see a lot more, you know, Grizzly Bears would kind of not necessarily take over the format, but variations on those cards. Like, think of how much better Fleecemane Lion decks are going to be when you have a 30-card aggressive deck.
Or even like,
again,
green,
like how many
red
lands are you going to play if that's your bottom end. It completely changes the format and the way it works, and I think that as much fun as it would be in the short term, I think that it would actually be worse for Magic in the long run.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it would replace Standard, but as a supplemental thing, like, it's kind of interesting. I'm interested. You know what? Fucking next time I am out, I'm gonna play this. This sounds actually really cool. We got to get a bunch of people together.
Hearthstone the Gathering? Is that what we're gonna try out the format?
Well, you know what's funny? Hearthstone abbreviation is HS, and Half Standard is HS. Oh, damn. All right, moving on. We've got, Booze Cube always with these horrible, bizarre questions. Man, this guy has got... First of all, huge shout-out to Booze Cube and his new set, the Booze...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, dude.
Elder
Tony
Dragon
Montana.
Hangover spoilers all over the place. They're fucking sweet. Have you just seen Tony Montana? Have you seen the rest of them?
I've seen Will Ferrell. Saw him yesterday. They're all over. I haven't had time to actually look at them all, but man,
he's got a few of them out there, and like they're fucking insane. Like they all are fucking insane, and I can't wait to play with them.
Yeah, we're gonna bring him on in a week or two. And
we got Captain Hammer. Like,
oh my God, totally want to print these out. All right, so he's got a question. He says, if you were magically transformed into a woman for 24 hours, what would you do? Now, hold on. Now, you didn't let me finish. Now, there's a few tweets that you have to take into consideration here. Assuming masturbation is not an option, Okay.
Is that part of the original fucking question, or is that something?
Okay, let me read. You be quiet. Shut your two-headed fucking troll face for a second. All right. He says, so the booze cube says, in his original question, brackets assuming masturbation is not an option. Frankie Richards, God love him, says masturbation is always an option. Booze Cube replies, he was saying like, oh, he says, if you think they can't next level a masturbation answer, you're underestimating them. Well done. Well done. I believe that a heavy metal masturbation session could easily tear the fabric of space or time. Now, that all being said,
I also said to that, like, I didn't even realize that was the original question. I just was like, well, or tear my penis fabric, possibly. But I didn't realize this had a, you know.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if TSG was here for this one, but I think maybe it was actually the Diddle episode. It was one of the episodes where we were talking. I think we've been asked this question. I don't know if we had a 24-hour time limit, but we have been asked.
Yeah, I feel like this is a mild repeat at least.
Maybe it was the question that if we got female genitalia. Or maybe it was boobs. But this is not that question. This is interesting. It's totally transformation. We are a woman for 24 hours. What do we do?
I can't masturbate.
How about this? You can't masturbate for more than 10% of your time. All right,
well, I'll spend that 10% masturbating, and I'll go to sleep until I get my body back.
What the fuck?
I'm surprised you didn't go for, like, get loaded and pass out.
I mean, don't you think that the first thing that you would want to do is dress up super hot, go down to your local F&M, and just fuck?
No, I say...
People's brains, like, just...
It sounds like Maddie's looking for attention.
If I've got the 10% where I can masturbate, I'm going to figure out how the plumbing works, like, from that side, and then I'm going to go to sleep until I get my body back, and then I'm going to go on a fucking rampage. Like, I'm going to figure out, like, you know, it's like riding a bike. You don't get it till you get it. Like, if you get put into a female body, like, I don't care whose body it is, if you get put into a female body, you can figure out how the plumbing works, you can figure out the best spots, the worst spots, you can glean a lot of information out of that 10% of the time I get, and then I'm basically just gonna fucking drink a bunch of NyQuil, go to sleep, and wake up myself, and then go on a fucking field day.
I picture Kevy in, like, a lab coat with a fucking scientist journal writing down all of his findings.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'd be streaming it for you guys.
That's how I know we've had this question before, because I remember that answer.
No, I don't remember the streaming, although I would much... No, Kevy,
I don't remember the answer. I don't remember the answer, but I feel like I probably would have said that before, too.
I would much prefer boob pics than dick pics, so I fully endorse you streaming and taking as many pictures as you want. Although, it doesn't specify what women, or, like, are we a female version of ourselves, or can we choose any woman? Like, boom, I could become Scarlett Johansson for 24 hours? What?
No, you're transported into a female body. It's luck of the draw. Yeah, roll your D20. Oh, we did that last week.
Yeah, like, do you remember how that turned out? 24-inch penis nipples. No way, man.
I had 15-inch nipples and a 5-inch penis, but, like, at this point, you're just basically, like, rolling your rating as a, like, what we would rate.
See, my answer changes. If it's random, I think I'm just, like, if I lose the die roll, I'm with you, man. I'm like, couple hours, we'll explore, see what's up, and then I'm drinking NyQuil.
See what you can figure out.
But if I hit the jackpot... Yep. If I hit the jackpot and boom, I'm in Scarlett Johansson's body.
Oh, yeah.
I am partying the fuck up.
If I poof and wake up as, like, an Amish woman, like, I'm just going to use this as research. Like, if I poof and wake up as a 40-year-old
Amish lady.
Yeah, I'm going to, like, and now I'm starting to fucking feel like TSG is right and we've been here before. If I wake up as a celebrity female, I'm going to film the shit out of it so that I can sell it later on the internet.
Oh, there you go. You blackmail yourself. Right? Boom. There you go. I land in Scarlett Johansson's body, film myself doing all kinds of debauchery. Then, after my 24 hours are up, I go collect the videotape that I've mailed to myself, and I go frame her for a seven-figure salary, and I don't have to fix
my life. So you get lucky, you fucking natural role of fucking Scarlett Johansson, and you just start taking fucking fire hydrants in your ass and filming it, but the paparazzi's not around.
What?
And, like, then you release that
shit
on the internet.
What is a fire hydrant? What is that? Is that, like, some bizarre Urban Dictionary thing that I don't know about?
No.
Like,
no, it's
like
it's
fire
hydrants
of liquid semen?
No, fire hydrant. What? It's like 4 inches around. They're on every corner of the fucking planet just in case a fire happens. It's a giant metal fucking sculpture that the city puts. You take a fire hydrant in your ass because it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt in the morning. No, it's not going to hurt in the morning because you're not going to be Scarlett Johansson in the morning. So you take a fire hydrant in your ass. You're the only one that has
to. I don't want to destroy such a fine thing, though.
Hey,
that seems wrong.
I would take a lot of painkillers and I would do that shit and I would fucking make sure I was the only one that had it on film so that tomorrow I would be rolling in money. Like, you know that seven figure fucking, like, slip off your, you know, snip a nut fucking question we had earlier?
Oh yeah, fuck that.
Like, I would definitely snip off
a
nut.
This is a much smarter way.
Or I would, like, if I got transformed into, like, some celebrity body, I would take a fire hydrant, to male or female.
I'll tell you what. How about this? Let's make it.
If I was just gonna go for 24 hours, I'd pop into Channing Tatum's body, and then I'd take a fire hydrant in my ass, film it, and fucking, you know, it's gonna hurt like hell. But I'm gonna be on enough painkillers that I'll be fine. And then tomorrow he's gonna have to deal with the surgery. Because I'm back in Kevin Metal's body, and I'm the one selling the video on the internet. And
I'm just saying this. How about this? If any one of us lands in Scarlett, let's just be nice. But if any one of us lands in Kim Kardashian's ass, fire hydrants all day fucking long. Because, like, as many of those that will fit up there. I'm just saying. 100%. Break the internet.
I feel like if you land in Kim Kardashian or Scarlett Johansson, you pretty much have a seven-figure income anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know what TSG is going to choose.
I'm not even talking about landing in their body. I'm talking about if you land in one of the two of those girls, you're set.
I don't know.
I feel like we've answered this question on the show before.
Yeah, I love how he said it like three times. He's just like, I don't want to waste time on this one.
I know, and I get that. But there's also that whole, like, hey, it's a different night. Like, you know,
that's
what?
True. People Kevy forgets.
There's a different amount of alcohol running through Kevy's system.
Hey, you know what? Standard rotates, so do these fucking questions. Fucking, you know what? Sometimes there's a card that's good, sometimes there's a card that's bad. It might have used to have been good.
You didn't mention anything about repeats. Or reprints.
Reprints. Oh, that's what we're calling them. Every time we get a question that we've had before, it's a reprint.
So are you still, like, after everything that's been said, are you still in the same camp as what you were on the first question, or the first time this question was asked?
I've got to be. I got totally hung up on Maddie just like completely trolling for attention at FNM. That was quite revealing.
No, that was just me trying to give back to the community because you know these nerds will never get that.
I'm gonna get there.
I'm going to be like, here, none of you will ever experience anything close to this in your entire lives. Suck away. You know what I'm saying?
That
suck away.
All sounded pretty awkward. All
right, so moving.
That's pretty much everything I say when I show up to fucking FNM as me.
Like, Kevin Metal.
In a tutu. Yeah, the best you're going to be able to do is look at it on Twitter. Just suck away. Now, it doesn't go over the same way.
No, it doesn't. There's a slight tonal difference. All right, we're moving on up the Twitter hole. Here we go. We're going to climb out of this fucking shithole. Andrew Huska, Curly 9117 says, you can have unlimited of one and can't have the others for life. Okay, so this is a multiple choice question, Kevy. We can have one,
I get you.
Can't have the other.
Unlimited. Of one of these things.
Yes.
But you can't any of the others.
Yeah, so whatever one you pick, you lose the other three. Money, sex, love, or alcohol. unlimited money, unlimited sex, unlimited love, or unlimited alcohol. But we lose the rest.
You get one of them, and what, you don't have any of the rest?
That's right.
Yeah, you can't have any of the rest. Like, of course, money pops off, like, oh, unlimited money, yeah, but you can't buy sex, you can't buy alcohol, you can't buy love.
I think
it makes it tricky.
No, it's not that tricky. It's so easy. So, like, if I choose money, I'm going to be fucking pretty bored.
Buying all the happiness you can find.
As much as I can try, right? If I choose all the sex, my genitals are going to be just raw and fucked. And, I mean... Yeah,
this is an easy question. Like,
that shit fixed.
Yeah, well, that's true.
If you can't have the other ones, like, I mean, I get it. Like, yeah, if you could have unlimited money, you could buy all the sex and fucking shit you want. That's fine. But, like, if you can't have the other ones, like, is this not just a love thing?
I think that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
It's love, right?
Yeah. Like,
because then I'm poor. I can't have any fun because there's no alcohol around. We can't have any
sex. I feel like we're just describing the plot to It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, no, such a troll.
I feel like they were trying to bait me into saying alcohol, but
I mean, even Kevy has a heart. Come on, guys. Come on now.
That was hard. That was disgusting. I feel like if I just have infinite love, like that. I mean, hey, they didn't go too far into describing. Like I can have love.
I feel like that's kind of what we already have with the SVU. I mean, we don't have infinite money. We don't have infinite sex with them. Speak for yourself. I'm not the guy who's dressing up to go to F&M to get male attention, Maddie.
Hey, that has nothing to do with attention. It has to do with me giving back to the fans.
Love, like, and the bonus is, like, love could be any different direction. Like, you can love your wife. You could love your fucking fellow man. You could love all sorts of shit. Like, I feel like I'm going to have to make some adjustments to move my whole fucking...
Adjustments?
Being. Adjustments. It does sound like what he said.
Is that that new flavor of mint? Adjustments?
Adjustments.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like, adjustments. Like, they're just like you pop one in your mouth, you change your whole idea on life.
That's the slogan for my penis.
Oh, wow. Can we tattoo that on something right now? Because that's amazing.
I just thought they were like antidepressants.
Didn't you just buy a tattoo machine?
I didn't buy one. He did, man. Oh, yeah. There you go. No, Kevy can tattoo that on you while you're at the crest.
Adjustments.
You'll just tattoo that spelt wrong. All right. We're moving up the hole here because we got some decent ones coming. Booze Cube, I'm going to give you one more. You've got too many, but I'm going to give it to you because this one is dope. Design a top-down card involving the clitoris, and it must use landfall. Wow. Yeah. Now, Kevy, this is in your realm of knowledge, because I know you've used landfall to generate clitoral responses many times. But how do we design this card? This is kind of hard right now. So, a giant clitoris... 3-3 that doesn't
involving
attack.
You could do it like
South Park, the movie, and you could make it like a planeswalker.
No.
Clitoris the planeswalker. No. Alright, you got this?
Hold on. I gotta get the randomization right. Shit.
Alright, so
you can flip a coin, which is 50-50. I got this. Okay, so it's a 2-1 for red. Like just one red.
Sure.
You could tell Kevin has designed this.
Yeah, he's already got
okay.
this.
Okay, now this is where it actually gets, you know,
strange,
real.
Okay,
and well, probably strange. It's 2-1 for red, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it has haste anyway. Just because.
Okay.
But it's kind of like Goblin Guide, but it's landfall. Hold on. I've got this. It's right there. It's okay. So it's landfall. So like this only triggers every time fucking you play a land for this fucking turn, but.
you turn over the top card of your library, and if it's a land, because that's not going to happen every like all the time, like, you know,
yep,
like
sure.
Clitoris.
Yeah, yeah. You, sometimes you know, got to have, like, you know, like vaginal, like, orgasms too. Yeah.
Like one out of ten, like the clitoris is not going to react to this. So if you...
Okay.
So
okay.
If a land was played this turn... Uh-huh. This creature attacks, and then you flip over a land. If you do, like, now, how, where do we go from this? Like, if you get
wow,
a land...
You just went down not even knowing where you're going? You're just like, I want a land.
Well, it's like, do we go back to, like, you get to fuck her in the butt? Or
no,
do we go to, like... like
that has nothing to do with...
Deals,
okay.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. All right, or this deals two damage... Like, this deals two damage to card creature.
All right,
I got this. Can't make lightning bolt, can't make it a shot. No, it's like a goblin guide, but it's like whenever it attacks, you flip over your own fucking top card of your library, and if it's a land again, like if you're that good, then you deal two damage to target creature.
But what kind of clitorises are you playing with that it's dealing two damage to you, man? I could see that, like, maybe it, like, gives you
it's
an extra blue mana.
No, okay,
here, I got it. It's a mythical legend. No.
Give me a fucking shock.
No, it's not gonna shock. What vagina is shocking you, man? What are you fucking doing with vagina? Look, here it is. I got
shocking.
This.
This is shocking the other player.
What?
If you find it, it shocks them.
No. If you're... Listen, if this clitoris is not giving you blue mana, you're doing something wrong. That's all I'm saying. Like, it has to be like a legendary mythical artifact that when you tap it, it gives you two blue mana.
Which means that Magic has only seen it like three times in his entire life.
Oh my god, please. Like,
it's a magical, mythic, blue, legendary artifact.
No, it's red. It's a red artifact, but it gives you two blue mana if you tap it. Now, if land falls, it just squirts all over you. That's it. That's what it does. It just, you just get covered. You have infinite blue mana until end of turn. There you go.
Spreading seas.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
So you just like all your shit.
Your clitoris is now an island. Go.
And I feel like that's a good idea. Like, you know, like target land opponent controls turns into a clitoris, and now all of your lands are islands.
all your lands are ruined. Like, I hope you have, like, them sleeved, it's boys.
It's like this That's weird horrible. Backwards blood moon that...
Oh, no. It's a blackwards blood moon. It's a butt moon. Ew, a blood butt moon? Fuck that.
I was just talking about spreading seeds, man.
You said backwards blood moon.
Yeah.
It's like anal bleeding. I don't want to go there.
Look. Do you have anything to bring to this question?
Please save us.
Is this two guys that have heard of magic cards before?
No, I've got to think it's a green enchantment with Shroud. Landfall, target opponent may target the clitoris as though it does not have Shroud this turn. And it's...
it can't have Shroud. It has to have Hexproof. Because she knows where it is.
No, it's definitely Shrouded. Because the game text is going to be if you...
If you control the clitoris...
Is it inspired? Is that the keyword?
You got a mechanic here? Inspired? I don't think it's inspired. I think it's got to be like...
No. Isn't inspired a keyword?
Yes.
It does something every time it becomes a target of a spell or ability, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it has inspired, you gain 100 life.
Sure. Well, maybe if it's like when it triggers, it just serum visions.
You know what?
Nah, man. Hey, there's some nice subtlety in the design here. You've got to look for it.
Hey, I love everything you've said, and I know this is kind of a blue ability, but like you, I feel like you gain an extra turn.
Do it again. I feel like you definitely do that. Yes.
Even though it's a screen, and like if you can get through the shroud or hex proof or whatever it needs to be, like you gain an extra turn and you get to do it again, over and over again. Like if you're a control player,
it can't
like,
have an infinite loop. That just doesn't work. People get tired.
Sometimes they do.
All right, like, put a counter on it. When this counter hits five, it explodes.
Hey! No, sometimes you go to time. Like, sometimes you just roll your round times. Sometimes you go to time, and she's just like, oh, nope. But, like, you know, if you can splash a different color in there, like, if you can do what you're doing, like, you can loop that over and over, and you keep getting an extra turn, and then you just finally get that, like, little lightning bolt or terminate in there, like, you splash a different color, you fucking poke a finger in her butt and she finishes, like, yeah, done. Game over.
Wow. Alright, so you have a choice. You have a choice. Because the Twitter hole is getting slightly long and TSG has got he's got green shamans to take care of.
I want to take a time out here to say I have the utmost respect and love for Tristan because this guy knew going into this goddamn podcast that he was, you know, in the minority. He's like, Maddie and Kevin are going to say a lot of shit that I just don't
agree with.
Want to involve myself in. And then, but he's like, I figured he was going to fucking tap out a long time ago. But
of life? What are you talking about?
No, I think.
You were just going to tap out of this podcast a long time ago. You'd be like, oh, you know what? You fucking idiots. Just keep talking about what you're talking about.
Hey, I survived the almost five-hour Marcel night. Come on, man.
That's true. Yeah, you're here. You're here and you're fucking strong. You're answering the question. I just got to take a time out to give you fucking credit. You have become me and Maddie. Like, basically, you've given up everything that you were before and become me and Maddie.
We'll try to spin that as a compliment.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with it.
Okay, so Kevy, the question is like, if TSG was gonna put this enchantment in any city,
yeah,
I don't know though. Like, I don't know what a good sign off line is.
I know they have to be organic. You can't force them.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like things happen over time. You can't just be like say some shit that you're gonna say every time you're done talking about shit for now forever, man. Like,
insert line here.
You need one of those nights where like we've been really riled up about some crazy shit and someone's really pissed off about something.
Hey, you guys are reading way too much into the question. I didn't say a sign off line for the rest of your life. I'm just talking about tonight.
He's so drunk.
This is gonna be, you know what's great? Yeah. I gotta put up with this when TSG leaves. I gotta try to figure out a way to close this son of a bitch down. And we've got we have two more questions that I have to answer. So,
all right, well, we may be able to get through them if you actually ask them. I'd be willing to stay for that. I'm concerned that Kevin's gonna have another one of those nights where he's buying $500 worth of bowling equipment at 2 a.m. again.
that's Evan gonna be the close out line, right? Okay, hey, so
Kevin doesn't know that. But before we go into those other two questions, we need to hear a sign off line from Tristan.
I think I know what yours
is,
dude.
Give us one, man.
Come on, it's pretty obvious.
I think it's going to be you're drunk, Kevin.
Yes, there you go. That's it right there, the best sign of life. I think you're drunk, Kevin. I think you're way too drunk, Kevin. All right, so we're going to keep going on with the Twitter hole. BoozCube, after I refused to let him keep asking questions, he says, lightsaber dildos? Yes, that's my question, goddammit. Now, lightsaber dildos.
No. Is this like a color preference, a type preference, a size preference? What's the question?
Lightsaber dildos, question mark. That's it. So
she's going to die. No. She's going to die.
No.
She's going to split open. She's going to die.
No. For, you're not thinking how cool this is. Do I get the cross guard? Like, is this tri-tip dick I'm talking about here? Like, that's pretty dope, dude. A fucking lightsaber with tri-tips on it? Oh my god, what are you talking about? Dude!
Are you talking about our world?
Like, I don't know what's going on at this point.
Like, yeah, is this like our world? Like, oh hey, we live in the fucking normal grown-up universe.
No,
and like,
no.
We have, like,
dildos, or like actual lightsaber from the movie dildos, which she's going to die because like as soon as you hit the button, it's going to like disembowel her.
Who said that you needed to use this on her? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, this could be a weapon.
I'm sorry, him or her.
No, not him or her. I'm just saying, like, no, this is like a surprise thing. Like, you just keep it in your purse, and then, like, a guy tries to mug you, and you're like, boom, dildo, and he's like, oh my god, dildo, I'm not into that shit, and you're like, oh my god, we're in an alleyway, and you're, like, assuming the wrong type of shit. But then he's like, give me your money, bitch, and you're like, watch this, lightsaber. Like,
that was super weird, because I feel like you took a totally reasonable question, and you made it weird.
I don't think so. I think that question needed to be weird.
If I show up in an alley and I pull out my fucking 40 cal and I'm like, oh no, dildo. Like, it's the same thing. You're like, I'm all, no, it's a dildo. It's fine. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, no, it still fires rounds and it still wrecks people's bodies. Like, you can't have lightsaber dildos. Like, I mean, in our world, you could.
it reminds me of people that stick glow sticks in their nether regions. Like it's fun for like five seconds, and then it just becomes a hazard.
How is it not a hazard for the first 5 seconds? I don't know what you're talking, dude. First of all, who does that? And second, like, what raves are you going to? Like, you don't do that, right? Like, I've never.
I'm never stuck anything up my nose or ass before. I don't know.
Now the nose. Oh my god! What kind of glow sticks are you buying, bro? Okay, Kevy, I'm gonna have to jump immediately to the next most important question because I feel that that lightsaber question just threw us off, and I'm not sure we can recover. And Kevy may be past that right now. I'm not sure, which is great because that allowed.
This is one of those nights where the cast ends when Kevy stops responding.
We almost got away. Ow! And then he fucking trips over shit. We almost got away. Fuck. Why did I have to ask?
Almost got away.
Alright. This is the question that if we, at least we got in, because it's probably the only time KYT has asked us a fucking Twitter hole question.
He didn't even ask.
He didn't even ask.
He just told us.
Yeah, he didn't put a question mark. He put an exclamation point. So he says, assign Batman characters to the heavy metal universe. Wow. So are we saying, like, who's Batman in the heavy metal universe, or are we, like, dropping Batman characters into our bizarre world? I don't know.
I think we gotta.
We're signing them.
The best way to just take Batman characters. And like, well, like, who are all these characters in our universe?
It's so easy. You're the Joker. Not even anything. You're the fucking Joker, hands down.
Yeah, I get that.
Right. Jeez, then it gets hard.
I could go Riddler, but
you're not the Riddler.
Yeah.
Please, yeah. Kevin.
Yeah, you're not the Riddler. TSG could be the Riddler. No. He could be the Riddler. I would believe that.
I am cryptic as fuck.
Yeah, he is, right? And he's so sarcastic and dry. He's like a Vag that, like, just, you know, doesn't produce anymore. Right. All
right. I'm probably the Joker.
Yeah, you're the Joker. I know you want to take it deeper, but it's just not. You could be Poison Ivy, right? You could. But I don't think you like plants that much.
Kevy is Poison Ivy. That's interesting.
Well, because he's full of poison already, right?
Sure.
He's like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Who's Batman? Gumby? Maybe Gumby? He's got to be Gumby because he's so good at hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, he's good at it. He's got it handled. It's like, I don't know. Maybe.
And he's got all the decks. It's like his utility belt. Right? Like, whatever you want, he's got. Yeah. I think he's fucking Batman. And he looks good in a mask. I don't know why, but...
Does that make Matty Robin?
No way! Fuck, I'm not Robin.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh.
No. There's no way I'm Robin.
Sometimes you have... Sometimes you have to be the guy that you are. Like, I'm the Joker.
Which Robin? Am I Dick Grayson? I don't think. You know what? Am I? I don't think so.
I know you've got that kind of incredible optimism that he has.
That's true.
I think it might be Maddie as Robin. That's like one of the hardest ones to figure out.
I don't know.
Who's Robin? I feel like, and it's not in a bad way, but it's, I feel like Maddie might be Robin.
Interesting. We could come back to that one. Could be. It could be. It's hard to know. I could actually be Dick Grayson. Because I wouldn't be the new Robin. I'm definitely not Damian. I guess I'm Dick Grayson. Yeah, there you go. Bam. Who's Ferret? That's a
Nightwing.
Good one. No, I'm Nightwing, dude. I'm Dick Grayson.
Oh, I guess.
What the fuck? You can't be giving that shit away. He could be Damian.
He's Oracle then.
No, you know what he is? He's Bat Dog. Actually, no, no, Ferret. You know what Ferret is? He's Alfred.
How is he not Oracle?
He's all computer. Yeah. Hey, that's true.
I do have to give Alfred to Luke Narian.
There's
a toss up there. There's Bruce Lee and there's Luke.
You know, Bruce Lee could be a good Riddler too. Actually,
nah.
Who's the proxy guy? That's the one. Who's the most negative fucking Bruno? Who in the Batman universe is proxy guy? That's hard.
I got to put it this way. Like fucking Alfred.
He's Clayface.
No, Alfred is.
Oh yeah, because he could turn into anything. Okay. Yeah.
No, Alfred is fucking the SVU cast. Alfred is.
Large is Commissioner Gordon. Boom.
No, it's Robot.
That one's easy. Yeah.
Robot. Oh, yeah. God damn it.
Jack LaCroix is freaking. Oh, he's.
Batgirl.
No, Jack. No, you know who Jack LaCroix is? He's freaking Scarecrow.
With all his scary fucking. Are there any horses in the Batman universe?
Yeah, Bat
Is
Horse.
Is there a Bat Horse?
There was a Bat Horse. There was 100% a Bat Horse.
There had to have been. Batman's too old to not have a horse.
Yeah. Whoever that is, that's Jack LaCroix. Bat Horse.
Bat Horse.
Oh my god, that horse's dick is so big. I don't even know. Wait, did you see that video that they were talking about a money trap where the horse impaled that guy? What the fuck? And then he died later? So horrible. I don't know.
God damn it! No!
Hold on, we
gotta get through this Batman universe.
Okay.
We have to get through this Batman universe.
Who's Mr. Freeze? Pivotal character, very like intelligent, but very dry. But
so not the Arnold.
No. We're talking like the coolest version.
No, the good Mr. Freeze. Yeah, I'm gonna say that's fucking Jason Clark.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. I'm down with that. Yeah. That works.
Jason Clark definitely Mr. Freeze up in this bitch.
That's true. I could see it. Good one. Well done. Oh. You know who Damian is? Durfington. He's small and he's a fucking ninja. Boom.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, there you go.
And he's like a sidekick.
Now, I'm also going off of like my knowledge of the Batman universe, which mainly consists of the 60s Batman show.
Why doesn't Batman dance anymore? That's the good question.
Frank Gorshin Riddler right there, buddy.
Yeah, he's been the first.
No, I take it back. I'm not the Riddler. I'm fucking Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, there you go. Actually, Ra's al Ghul, that's not bad. But then you're Batman's enemy. You're not Raging Gumby's enemy. Right? Come on.
I don't know.
Is he? Maybe he is. Who knows?
Look it the right way. Like, you know, they're the only two that know what the fuck they're talking about. So they're like, you know, toe-to-toe.
That's
like,
true.
They get in arguments from time to time, like, oh, hey, man, no, this card's good for Cube. No, this card's good for Cube. And then they could argue about that shit all day long.
Hmm.
I'm kind of just the guy that's here sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you are. Sometimes you are.
I get the okay. I get the Joker reference now. Like,
sometimes you just want to see the world burn. Like, if you're not the Joker, I don't know what is. Come on.
Yeah. All right. I get it.
I'm not sure. Like, what kind of bizarre fucking Batman theme song? Maybe like Seal is gonna be singing right now, but a rose.
Oh, man,
like,
I really
right,
hope
now, like, rose. Right now. Right now, the 60s.
And I love you.
The 60s fucking Batman one would be fucking like. It's
too obvious. I go with that Seal.
Yeah, I think Seal would just like hit like. Because right now, we've also like. We've told the SUV we love them, and then we've like assigned them characters, and then they're just like, oh my god.
We totally took that question from earlier about what are the four things you take forever. We chose love.
See? This is a sappy fucking episode this week. This is horrible. I'm editing this off. This sucks. This is all the fucking trash, man.
No, I do have to go, guys. I've been tears in the quarter. The light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, stranger it feels, yeah. Now that you're rose. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain, baby. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a light, and the light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can feel you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave. So much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now, won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a lot, and the light that you shine can't be seen. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave. Yes, I can pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom.